When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yes, welcome, my friends, to the show that never ends, no matter how badly you want it to. It's the best show. No, you love it. You can't live with, you can live without it. What are we going to do? All right, here we go. Pull it together, Tom. Pull it together. We can do this. We can do this. Here we go. One, two, three. Hey, welcome to the best show. It's me, Tom Sharpling, your host. And we have an exciting program for you tonight. We're going to have in studio Josh Cantor. You know him. He plays organ for the Red Sox. We'll see if he can do a little... You know why? Because I wrote that and I get money every time it's played. Three of the songs I wrote that were pretty popular. Big one. Did not write Charge, though. That was a yes and in the musical world. Is that what we call it in music? Yes and? Now we got surprises coming. Get ready. I welcome you. The phone number, 201-332-3484. This is the best show, and we're here together on this sultry July night. Ready to laugh and to love and to learn. Here we go, best show. Show. How are we doing tonight, everybody? Welcome here. You and I gathered together on a lovely July evening in 2017. Welcome, my friends. It is the best show. My name's Tom Sharpling. I'm here till midnight or thereabouts. We started a little late. Maybe we'll end a little late. The people listening live, there are tons of people listening live, but the people who will listen over the years to this, stadiums full of people are hearing this voice right now say, what's up? The phone number 201-3-323-484. And we are at full strength tonight. AP Mike, Studio, Pat Byrne, everybody on hand. A fun night ahead. Oh, what did we just hear? We just heard Helium. Lucy is the name of that song. From a collection put out called Ends with And. A 2-LP set on Matador. Putting together all sorts of unreleased things, demos, rarities from the great band that was and is Helium. They did a bunch of reunion shows last month. I missed them. Did they ask me to play with them? To sing a song? Yeah, they did. Well, could I? No, I couldn't. I couldn't do it. Do I wish I could have? Yeah. Mary Timony, super cool? Yeah, duh. Right? Duh. That's all I say to that. So, this is a great record. Putting all these records in one, all these songs in one place. Can't go wrong. Helium. I'll send that out to my friend Marcia, who she loves Helium. So, what's new, guys? Here in New Jersey, boy, oh boy, are we proud of our governor. What a great guy, huh, Mike? Chris Christie, this clown. You know what this clown did? Started hosting a sports show, sports radio. He took over for this guy. There's this guy who's been here. He's been the scourge of New York radio. His name's Mike Francesa. He used to do a show called Mike and the Mad Dog. And then this guy Mad Dog, who's a dope in his own right, even he couldn't take it anymore. He had to get away from this guy. It's like, imagine a guidance counselor who thinks he knows everything about Yankees stats. That's what this guy's like. A guidance counselor who's only there for the money, who just knows everything about what's-his-face's batting average, Don Mattingly. Can you imagine anything more boring? I can't. So then he goes, he's retiring the end of this year, Mike Francesa. And he said this amazing thing before one of his, he was talking about, I don't know why they give podcasts away. He's like, I have a couple interesting ideas about how to do podcasts right. And they're like, the interviewer was like, well, what podcasts do you like? He's like, I never heard a podcast in my life. Oh, so he's going to fix podcasts. He's never heard one, but he knows how to fix. But you know, I say, go for it. I hope this blowhard. Yeah, I'll rent him studio space. I'll rent him this. Even get a call screener, AP Mike.
We got AP Mike here. So AP Mike said that he thinks Bucky Dent was one of the best shortstops in baseball in the '70s. You're wrong, Mike. Mike, you're wrong.
He'll say you're wrong 80 times. This guy sucks. So then he lets the Chris Christie take over, the governor. This is a sitting governor. This is a sitting governor. Can you imagine? An actual guy who could be in the office, in his office working, decides to go do a sport. Oh, what you can say? I'm on vacation. It's my vacation. You know what? Maybe you don't take a vacation. If you got enough time to go do a sports show, maybe you can work an extra day. You know, if you're leaning, you could be cleaning. That's what we always said when I was a busboy. Well, I didn't say it. I had it said to me. If you're leaning, you could be cleaning. So he does this thing and he's on, and then some guy calls and he gets on him for this whole beach thing. Cause this bum did a thing where he tied up a beach and he kicked everyone off the beach cause they couldn't settle a budget for the state. And then all the beaches were closed over 4th of July weekend. That was, yeah. Oh no, don't worry. Not a time anybody wants to use the beach. Not like the beach was closed in February. And then this dude goes and clogs up a beach, him and his dumb family, on a beach that's shut down for everybody else. He's tying it up, and then some guy's like, yeah, you tie that beach, yeah, you're on the beach, nobody else. And he starts going back, he starts yelling at the guy. It's like, yeah, this clown should be on sports radio. It's the last refuge of the truly talentless. It's where talentless people go. Sports radio. You yell and scream about games that didn't happen yet. You're like yelling about a game that didn't happen. And then you go on and you just spin it a different way when the game did something different than what you said it would, because it always does. Because you don't know. You're not a mind reader. You ain't what are you, Ed Dames? You're doing a projection? You see in the future? You're Major Ed Dames? I don't think so. I don't think you're Major Ed Dames. You might think you are.
I know Major Ed Dames. I was friends with Major Ed Dames, and let me say you, sir, are no Major Ed Dames.
So, Mamacita? Oh, I'm a little thirsty. Go forward. Please, please, Mamacita, please bring me a drink, Mamacita. Please. Please, please. Please. Oh, what is this now? Oh, a black cherry. Thank you, Mamacita. Thank you. He doesn't even care. He's like, yeah. So, yes, yeah, so this guy's New Jersey is the laughing stock of America. Now with this bum. Thinks he's a sports talk guy. Tell me, there's nothing he can do. He can't run a broom down the hallway. Tell me, you can't run a broom down the hallway. Clean up a little bit. Water the plants. Want to let you all know, the best show. We don't do ads no more. No more ads. You don't hear me reading ads about mattresses or razors or whatever it was we did in that era of the show, which I will be eternally grateful for. But no more ads. Why? Because now, the best show. We keep the show on the air and keep it running one way and one way only. Over at Patreon, my friends. Patreon.com/thebestshow. And that's how you keep the show. That's how you support the show. That's how you tell everybody, I want the best show to keep going. You kick in what you can kick in. If you only can kick in a dollar, you kick in a dollar. We appreciate it. Dollar helps. Every dollar helps. You do more than that, you get things for it. $5, you get access to all the audio we put up, all the special exclusive shows. $5 a month gets you that. Then you can get a sticker for more than that, then a Best Show pin, a beautiful Best Show pin. And then there's the garbage pack, which is all past Best Show merch and whatnot. All sorts of things. But the important thing is that you do go to Best Show. You go to patreon.com/thebestshow. And you do what you can. We got 2,800 people now donating. I would love to get that to 3,000. What if it's a nice, even 3,000? Could you imagine the Best Show 3,000? Then I would be Mr. 3,000, not Bernie Mac. I would become Mr. 3,000. So do what you can. Help us out. Thank you. And what else is going on? What? What do some of these things say? I look at some of that. I don't even know what I wrote here. Oh, here's the thing. Muppet voice. Yeah, I don't want to talk about that. Because I guess the guy who did the voice of Kermit the Frog quit. This guy, he was Kermit for God knows how long. Let me see. Let's see. Steve Whitmore. The voice of Kermit the Frog. He's after 27 years, Steve Whitmore is no longer the voice of Kermit the Frog. No. It's in the garbage. Dudio brought in some thing saying Bridge and Tunnel, his sketch troupe, are doing a show at the Pit this Saturday. I'm not reading that. At the Pit at 7:30 p.m. No, I'm not reading it. Get that out of here. If you're in New York, he wants everybody to go to that on Saturday. No, I'm not doing it. Sorry. So this guy, Steve Whitmore, the voice of Kermit the Frog, is gone. Now look, this Muppet franchise, this Muppet thing is in trouble. They had that TV show. It was one of the biggest flops in the history of television. The reboot of the Muppets. No one wanted it. Cause they had the Muppets were saying it was so trendy. It was like the Muppets are just like, hey, did you go to that subreddit and get log in? It's like, I don't want to hear this from the Muppets. I don't want to hear the Muppets talk about, you know, the Groupons. Yeah. Yeah, so this guy, from what I heard, and I have no, this is speculative. I heard that the checks were not clearing with the Muppets. And again, don't take this to the bank, but it's the rumor I heard. The checks were not clearing. So this guy doing the voice of Kermit the Frog started doing like other things with it, like where he would like call for your birthday and then he would just do things. And then he got, that wasn't paying the bill. So he got in a little deeper. So he started calling, people were paying him to say things that did not fit with the brand of Kermit. That's all I'll say. Like you could hire him to say literally anything and he would say it. It's sick. It's sad. He's out. So right now, they're looking for a new Kermit the Frog. If you want to call, and if you can do a Kermit the Frog, I'll rep you. I'll be your voice agent. I'll get you in with this Muppet. What's it called? I'll get you in with the Muppets. We'll figure it out. I can't do Kermit the Frog.
Hi, it's me, Kermit.
Does that sound like him, Mike? It does. Well, maybe I'll put myself up for the gig.
Hey, it's me, Kermit. Hi, everyone. Kermit the Frog here. I, sure like living in this bog. Yeah, I'm Kermit the Frog here, and, it's the Muppets, everyone. Welcome.
So if you do a good Kermit the Frog, I'll rep you. get you in the thing, and I just get a piece of, I get a piece of the action. I just want a piece of the Muppet action. If this clears, at least. Oh, wait, they said they have a replacement already? No, I don't care. We'll run this guy out the way Conan O'Brien got run out. We'll Leno this guy, right?
Hi.
Best show.
Hi, Tom, it's Kat from Raleigh.
Kat from Raleigh, how are you tonight, Kat?
I'm mostly fine, but I'm kind of amazed that this is like the second time in a row. I know there's also been before that I've been the first caller on a show. It's like I'm a reverse Fred or something.
You and Fred are bookends then to the show.
Huh.
Fred calls with 3 minutes to go, and you call as the show begins.
Huh.
So how are you? What's going on in Raleigh tonight, Kat?
Not a whole lot. The reason why I'm calling tonight is because I am about to embark on a road trip with my mom. She's coming, like, in a couple days, real late, so I'm going to have to pick her up at the airport real late. And first we're going to be driving to Asheville. Neither of us have ever been. Then to D.C., and then, like, right around my birthday, it's going to be, like, to the Baltimore suburbs for a family reunion at my aunt's house. And so it's going to be a lot of driving, and I'm trying to persuade her to listen to the best show at least part of the way.
Yeah, first of all, it's not that, what are you in the car for 8 hours each way?
Yeah, it's a pretty long drive, some of those legs.
Yeah. And what does your mom want to listen to?
My mom, well, she's a pretty classic baby boomer in her music taste. She and my dad, they listen to a lot of, like, Fleetwood Mac,
Eagles. Sugar Pie, Honey Bunch, ooh, like songs like that?
Oh, some Motown, but it's more like 70s rock. Like I said, Fleetwood Mac and the Eagles, and, like, okay. My mom really likes, like, some country music that I think is corny, as well as, like, Norah Jones. But we've agreed, we're sharing the driving, and we've agreed that if one of us doesn't like the other's choice in audio, the other one in the passenger seat can put in headphones.
Gotcha. So there's an exemption you can make happen there.
Yeah.
Well, maybe you're just going to learn to fall in love with "I Got Friends in Low Places." Right?
Not really that kind of country music.
What, country music? Your family don't like no Garth Brooks?
Nah, it's more like older stuff. Like my mom actually made me learn to like Johnny Cash, because I didn't like any country music at all before I learned to like Johnny Cash.
Johnny Cash is great. You know, it's a great Johnny Cash song.
What?
Cocaine Blues.
Yeah, that's a good one.
So you
should I prefer Folsom Prison over San Quentin.
Well, he did Cocaine Blues at Folsom Prison.
Oh, wait, you're right. Sorry, I got confused.
You like San Quentin over Folsom Prison.
No, I don't. I do like Folsom Prison over San Quentin. I just got confused.
Wait, you don't like when he goes, "I think I'm going to do this song again, San Quentin is a living hell to me," and, like, these prisoners are like, yeah!
Yeah, that's one of the reasons I like Folsom Prison better.
He's riling up the troops. The troops, they're not troops, they're... Yeah. Look, you can't go wrong, son. And then hopefully you play Folsom Prison, you hear that, then you play the best show. You hear Folsom Prison, then you hear AP Mike, right? Then your parents will just be, your mom will just be like, yeah, yeah. Like, which one sounds like a jail, right? Now, tell me this, Kat. If AP Mike, because he has this site, apmike.bandcamp.com, and God help me for having to mention this again. What if he did, for 2018, what if he did a calendar, Because now's when he's got. Now's when he's got to get on it. He's got to get on a calendar now. What if AP Mike?
Would he be selling himself as attractive?
Oh, I hope so, because he is attractive. He's a good-looking guy. I think. Look, is he for everyone? No. But he's got a rugged. He's got a rugged vibe, like a. He's got like Mike gives off like a Danny Trejo kind of lived in, very lived in. Like the one thing Mike doesn't want anyone to know, it's the same thing Kevin Durant did, where you'd see him play basketball and you'd see he had no tattoos on his arms, but then he would take off his jersey and he'd have tattoos all over the place. Because it's being friendly to corporations. And Mike has a similar thing. If Mike wore a vest with no shirt underneath, you'd finally get a look at that sun tattoo he has on his chest. Right?
Sun like the drone medal?
No, not like sun. No, not like sun. Oh, whoa, 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 whoa. Not like that. He has a tattoo. It's like more like Henry Rollins. And it says, and this is a reference to the band Pussy Galore, which I don't know if he knows everybody that I finally figured out what it was. Their album Dial M for MF-er had the original title. That sounds like an unmarketable album title. Well, the original title is what Mike has tattooed on his chest around the sun. It says, make them eat bleep slowly.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Very aggressive. And I'm just I think that could be one of the pay. That could be a month in the calendar, right?
I bet some people would want to see him, like, just flat out shirtless.
Well, look, let's not get outrageous here. This is not an adult bookstore. This is, it needs to be artistic. I think, and look, this is not a porno calendar either. This should be safe for work. You'd hang this in your office. I think what if their one page is Mike feeding the chickens on a farm, right? Mm-hmm. You wouldn't want to see that? Him throwing down chicken feed?
Mm-hmm. I just hope the chickens would behave because chickens are vicious.
Look, that's his problem. He's the one that's got to go film the thing. If he gets chomped by the chickens, then that's the price of doing business. I think an AP my calendar would be the greatest thing I ever saw.
It would certainly be entertaining.
Yeah. So I'll put you down for one. They're $600 each. So I'll put you down for one, Kat. I guess I'll put your mom down for one too. So that's two. That's $1,200. It's $100 shipping. So $1,300. Okay. Mike, I sold two of your $600 calendars.
Hey, I put a Best Show sticker on my car. I'm giving you free advertising.
Well, that actually, I don't remember signing a zoning dispensation for that. So that's a $75 fine, Kat, for that. That's an unlicensed placement of a sticker. So that's another 70. So it's 13, 7. Let's round up to 1400. Well, this is what I say, Kat, all kidding aside. You and the best thing of what you're doing is you're hanging out with your mom. It's going to be great.
Okay.
You're going to have a good time, and you mix and match on the stereo, and maybe you each learn a little bit about each other.
Yeah, I hope so.
Which is
I
one.
I think she's going to meet Sid, and I'm really happy because I've been waiting for her to meet Sid ever since I adopted him.
Yeah, great. That'd be awesome. It's gonna be a good time. This is the beauty of when you get out of your teenage years and you become an adult, and then you can actually talk to a parent like a fellow adult. So enjoy that.
Like every time I go home to visit them, I realize I'm glad I live alone.
Yeah, well, you're visiting though. You have to realize this is not where you live. You're visiting. You do it. You have fun. It runs out of steam a little bit, and then it's over.
Yeah, and also I'm an only child, so my parents can't, like, divert their attention to anyone else.
Yeah, well, that attention, you take it. Take the attention. Mm-hmm. Take it while you got it.
Yeah, also free food.
And free food. Take that while you got it, too. All right, Kat, I appreciate it. You have a great trip.
Yeah, thanks.
Okay, take care.
Bye.
Bye. Best show.
Hey, Tom, how are you?
Oh, I think I know who this is.
It's Bob, man. What's up?
Right?
How you doing, Tom?
I'm doing well, buddy. I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Now, just a minute. Hey, you know who this is? This is Everett, Bob's evil twin. I just want you to know that I like you too, Tom, but I'm evil. I just want you to know that.
Now, what is your deal?
I'm so evil, I kill daisies in spring. I'm so evil, I tell a favorite dog that, get out of here, man, get. I'm sorry, Colin, he interrupted me.
You ran your evil twin out.
Yeah.
Good.
I'm sorry, he interrupted me.
No. Look, evil
twin. That's not the guy that came in the other time, that big fat snowboarder. That's my evil twin.
That's what these evil twins do.
Once in a while, you know, and it's a pain in the neck.
I tell you, these evil twins, you got to watch your step around them.
Yeah, he's still here. Get out of here, man! Go! Get out! Oh, he's gone. Okay. How you doing, Tom?
I'm doing well. Now, what is your evil twin's name?
That would be Avalanche Bomb Zero.
Avalanche Bob Zero.
Yeah, I call him a zero because he's no good. He's like, always bothering me, you know. I mean,
like Coke Zero.
I had a fight with him the other day, real bad, you know. And he got a couple punches, but I kicked his ass, so
good.
That's okay.
Good.
Yeah.
Thank God.
So I just want you to. So how's everything with you, Mr. Chaplin?
Oh, I'm just enjoying the summer. Just enjoying the summer, the heat. Is it hot enough for you? Is it hot enough for you, Avalanche Bob?
Be careful of the bugs.
Watch out for the bugs.
Those bugs, man.
You got to watch out for the bugs.
You got to watch some bugs.
Hey, will you give a shout-out, Avalanche?
You got one bug calling you up sometimes.
Will you give a shout-out, Avalanche?
I don't know who he is, but he sounds like a bug.
Yeah. Well, there's a guy, there's a young boy who listens to the show, Avalanche Bob. He's a huge fan of yours. His name's Fred Fred from Honolulu. He's 9 years old. He loves you so much. Would you give him a shout out, Avalanche Bob? Say something nice to this kid, so give him a little shot in the arm. He's flunking out of summer school right now, and he could use the encouragement.
Oh, hey, man, keep rocking, man. You can do anything in this world. Nothing can stop you. You can do anything. Don't worry about it. So rock a hula, man. Keep rocking.
I love it. That's nice of you to do. The little Fred from Honolulu.
Yeah, little Fred.
Say hey, say hey, little Fred. I love you, buddy.
Hey, little Fred. What's up?
There you go. We'll edit that together, and it'll be just a dream come true.
Yeah.
So what are you doing? What are you doing this summer, Avalanche Bob?
I haven't been to the beach yet. I think I'm going to go this week.
Now, what beach do you go to?
I call it Coney Island, I think, yeah.
Coney Island.
Yeah.
Gotta love it.
Yeah. Yeah, I love Coney Island, yeah.
Just want to play football for the coach, you know what I mean? Like Lou Reed said, Coney Island baby.
Right. I've never been to the big park in Jersey. What's the name? I can't think of it right now. Six Flags, Great Adventure. I never went there. Have you been there, Tom?
I have been there. It's fun.
Yeah. Really great, right?
I rode on this one roller coaster, and then I threw up.
Yeah, I can't go in circles. Anything straight, I'm fine. But anything in circles, I get kind of sick, you know?
Not me.
I don't know. I've always had that. Except for maybe America.
What kind of junk food? What do you eat when you go to the boardwalk? What do you eat? Anything crazy?
Yeah, I love the shrimp and Coney Island. Yeah,
the Coney Island.
I love the shrimp.
Yeah.
Nathan's. Yeah. Yeah, I love their seafood there. How about you?
Yeah, I like the seafood at Nathan's also.
Yeah.
I was actually in that hot dog eating contest.
Well, I don't know how they can do that.
Yeah.
How they get going to get so much food in their stomach?
Can you imagine? Wow. It's gluttony. It's gluttony.
Really unbelievable.
Yeah, the way these guys
do it. It sure is.
What's going on with any live performances coming up? Anything you want to tell everybody about?
Tom, okay, here's what's happening. We're finishing up the album next week. We've got the tracks done. We've got some live singers coming in now. We've got the electronic tracks done. We've got live singers coming in. We're going to finish it up. It should be out by the 1st of August, and then we're going to have, at Maloney's Bar, we're going to have a snow jam there. A summer jam for the release of the album. And, it looks good, Tom.
All right, when is that? Do you know when that is yet?
As soon as the album comes out, which should be the 1st of August. Because we were hoping the end of July, but Sam had to go on tour with his band, so I had to wait for him to come back to finish it up, and we're working on the end of it next week, and things look really good, Tom. And thank you for everything you've done for me, and Snow Power rules, man.
Of course, yep. Snow Power rules. You have a great time at Coney Island, Avalanche, Bob.
Yeah,
I'll talk to you soon.
Talking.
You take care.
You have a great night, okay?
Oh, thank you, buddy. All right, bye.
Okay.
Good guy. Good guy. Very good guy. Best show. Hi.
Hi, Tom. How are you?
I'm well. To whom am I speaking?
This is Josh, formerly from Elizabeth, now living in Philadelphia.
Josh? What brought you to Philadelphia, Josh? What happened?
A little work, a little this and that, you know.
Yeah, little this and that. Could you sound any shadier? Little this and that. What brought you from... From where? Where were you again?
Elizabeth, New Jersey.
You went from Elizabeth to Philadelphia. What brought you to Elizabeth to Philadelphia? A little this and that. That's the shadiest thing I ever heard in my life.
I'm sorry, we've got bridges.
So what's going on tonight, Josh?
Well, you were talking earlier about Kermit the Frog, and if anyone could do the voice to call in.
Yeah, you do it.
I don't have a Kermit the Frog impression, but I do have two impressions that I've been working on, and I was wondering if you could help me out with them.
Yeah, let's hear them. This is you're making the show your own, which is okay. This is what is this? Color Me Mine?
Who they are?
Now go ahead. What are the impressions?
Well, do you want me to tell you what they are, or do you want to?
I don't know. What's the best way to do? You clearly have some presentation in mind. Give it to me the way you want to. You clearly want to do them and want me to guess who they are.
Okay, I'll do one, and you can guess.
Yeah, like you want me to. Go ahead.
Okay. Here we go. I don't know.
Who's that? Andy Kindler?
No, it's not.
I don't know. What? What is that?
That would have been Robert Durst.
Very, very marketable impression. Very fun. Very fun.
And I've got one more, but I'm afraid it might be a little too similar.
What is it? Fred Durst?
What
do you got?
I'm
let's
not
hear
that
it.
Good.
Okay, let's hear it.
Okay. Here we go. Hi, Tom.
I don't know. Who is that? Josh from Philadelphia? Now, who was that?
No, that was my Greg Getter impression.
Oh, boy. You really know how to play to the marketplace. Robert Durst and Greg Gethard. Well, look, you got a bright future for you in the impersonation game. I look forward to seeing you at a local theater soon.
All right, thanks, Tom.
I don't know, man. What am I supposed to do with that guy, Mike? Right? What am I supposed to do? So I went on Sunday. Did you see the picture I put on Instagram? me and John Wesley Shipp. Yeah. I went to this comic convention, this comic book convention. And I wanted to go with my friend Z-Man, Zach. The Z-Man invited me to go. And then suddenly I was very, they got very tight for me to go. I wasn't sure if I could swing it. So I wasn't able to make a day of it, so I didn't go with him. I regret that, because this guy Z-Man, he's a nice guy. This guy, he's the guy who does Wally Wacky Man, the puppet. And the thing is, why isn't this guy? Why they fired this Kermit the Frog guy? Get him in there. Get Wally Wacky, paint Wally Wacky Man green or something. This is for two-year-olds. They can't tell the difference. Think these Muppet fans could tell the difference between Kermit the Frog and Wally Wacky Man if he was green? Just dump a green can of paint on his head. So I go to this thing. I just want to blast in and out of it. First of all, $30 to get in. Oh, my God. $30. So I can go and look at, so I could go in and buy things, basically. Imagine if you went to the mall and they charged $30 to get in so that you could shop. That's what this was. And I get in this thing and I'm walking around and this is the dregs of the whole thing. This is the one I went to last year, and the guy who had a weird question mark on his face with a ski mask, and he scared me. So I go to this thing, and I'm like, I don't know, man. I'm blasting through this thing fast. I'm getting through this thing fast. And then I walk into the one room, and I see a giant banner, and it says, John Wesley Shipp is here, and he's signing autographs. So I go up, I get an autograph, I pay for it. $40. $40. For this guy. He's the guy who, remember there's a caller, Spike, who used to call the show? And still does occasionally. Well, Spike loves John Wesley Shipp. He's a big fan. And this guy's famous because he was on the show The Flash. And I guess he's on the new version of The Flash. So I'm like, this guy talked about this John Wesley Shipp enough. And then I'm like, all right, I'll get the thing signed. So I get some picture of him signed. Then like, you want a picture with him? I'm like, yeah, sure. $10 more. What? I'm starting to think this is a profit-based endeavor. So what am I going to do? Say no, fine, let me pay it. They take my phone. This John Wesley Shipp puts his arm around me and he says, take the picture. And then I'm thinking to mention Spike to him. And I'm like, I'm not going to mention Spike. I don't know if there's a thing with this guy's. I know Spike's driving this guy up the wall. And I'm going to get arrested. So I didn't mention, I got the picture taken. I put it on Instagram. But man, that was some thin soup, man. I think I'm done. Oh, and Dean Cain was there too. Dean Cain. Can you imagine? Oh, it's Dean Cain. Gotta talk to that snooze. Who would want a picture with that guy? Yeah, it's me and Dean Cain. And the picture of me and John Wesley Shipp came out so awful. Because I was not expecting to have my picture taken. I looked like I rolled out of a veritable bed in the picture. So I put it up, but I cropped myself out of it for the most part. Yeah, I'm done with these comic conventions. I don't know. Just trash. People just selling piles of trash. What's that, Mike? I can't hear you.
What was the saddest celebrity you saw?
Oh, that was it. That was the only two there.
Oh, okay.
And the saddest thing I saw there was some, there's like a woman dressed in a costume, like a leotard as some superhero. And then this guy just like, I get a picture of you. I get a picture. And he's like making her pose. It was like Fame. I thought it was like Fame when Coco and Fame. Remember when it's like, all right, now why don't you take that shirt off? Like it was that level of creepiness, but it's in the middle of a thing. Yeah, it was unsettling. Did you do the thing?
Not yet.
Not yet?
The thing, yeah.
The Pat?
Not yet, no. Just duty or
so. Just duty, okay.
Should we get Pat on it now?
Yeah. Best show.
Hey, hi. This is Mary from Lansdale.
Mary from where now?
Lansdale, PA.
Mary from Lansdale, PA. What's going on, Mary?
Well, I want to talk about the giant Ferris wheel in Ocean City.
Oh.
Because I was just there on Sunday.
You mean the one I went on a month or so ago and had to beg to get off?
Yeah. Because it's terrifying.
It's huge.
Yeah.
And I realize I'm not cut out for Ferris wheels. That does it for me and Ferris wheels for my whole life. I went on that thing. I thought I could do it, and I was, like, feeling good. I finished writing this one thing, and I'm feeling like I could take on the world. Let me get on this Ferris wheel. I get on the thing. Immediate regret.
Yep.
I thought I was going to fall to my doom.
Exactly.
Did you go on it?
I did. My husband kind of convinced me. We had been down the shore for the day, and, you know, we'd been down Sea Isle, and we're drinking, and he's just like, oh, you know what we ought to do? We ought to go up to Ocean City and get on that giant Ferris wheel that you're terrified of. I'm like, well, sure, I've had a few drinks. That sounds great. And so we do. We drive up there.
So the two of you are just like, we should go on that Ferris wheel. We should go on. Why don't we go on this Ferris wheel? All right, let's go on the Ferris. Let's do it. So you drunk drive to Ocean City.
Well, no, he was sober. I wasn't.
Okay. So you had a good buzz going.
Yeah, exactly. I had a good buzz going, and he was fine. He's like, you ought to do it now because you're all relaxed. And I'm like, sure, that sounds like a perfect idea.
So
by the time we bought the tickets and were in line, I had sobered up.
Yeah. I don't know. That was probably better, though. Could you imagine if you're drunk on that thing and you started to have a drunken panic attack?
True.
Let me off it.
Yeah.
Let me off the Ferris wheel. Let me off.
Exactly.
So you went on it. When did you, at what moment, Mary, did you regret getting on that thing?
I'd say about halfway up the first term.
Like,
I guess when you're like a quarter of the way up and you suddenly you're like, oh, I'm a couple stories up.
Yeah, when you're
I'm
at,
like this.
at 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly.
Yeah, that's exactly it. That's when I did too. Because that first swoosh upward, you're like, oh, okay. And then suddenly when the angle changes.
Yeah.
Then it's like, oh, the Ferris wheel's under me now.
Yeah. It's one of those things where you're just staring straight ahead because I just don't look down, you know, just, oh, God. You know, I'm actually getting sweaty palms just thinking about it now.
I hated it. I hated it. I don't know why I did it. I learned nothing.
You know?
I learned nothing about myself.
Yeah, and it's one of these things where, so I'm on the Ferris wheel, and he's fine. He's, like, taking pictures, and he's like, oh, that's good. Oh, look, you can see so far, and I'm like, honey, I'm looking exactly at the center column, which I'm gripping with all of my life right now. I'm not looking at anything.
Yeah.
he's thinking this is great. What's wrong? I'm like, no, this is awful.
Because he doesn't have the fear of it.
No, none at all. He thought the little roller coaster next to it was terrifying. It's like a little baby roller coaster.
Yeah, now that that looked upsetting to me in its own way because that looked like it would fall apart when I was on it. I could picture that breaking. It looked rickety to me.
Oh, it's at least as old as me, and I'm like 38, so, yeah. It's falling apart. But he had no fear whatsoever, and I was so mad because I finally get down to the bottom, you know, because it goes around, like, what, three times? And each
oh,
time, you know,
I wouldn't know. I got off after turn, after rotation number one. I got off. I begged the guy to let me off, and he barely let me off the thing. He almost wanted me to. I was like, yeah, can I get off this, please? As I'm coming around the turn at 5 o'clock now, say.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to get off. I think I want to get off now. 5 o'clock. He let me off that thing at 7 o'clock. I almost had to take a step down to get off of it. That kid played with me. He thought it was funny.
Oh, no. Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm terrified just thinking about
so
it.
So you rode three. Yeah. You did the full trip on it.
Oh, yeah, because it's the middle of summer, so, like, the thing is packed, and so they're not going to let me off just because I look terrified, you know.
Oh, they'll let you off. Trust me, they'll let you off. They might have some fun at your expense. They're gonna let you off, though.
I'd try to remember that for next time, but there's not gonna be a next time.
No, there. Thank you. You are doing the right thing with that.
Thank you.
There will be no next time. Perfect. That is music to my ears, Mary.
Well, thank you very much, and I just wanted to back you up on how terrifying that Ferris wheel is.
Thank you so much. You have a great evening.
You too.
All right, bye.
Bye.
I sat there alone up on the Ferris wheel, a pastel-colored carriage in the air. I thought you'd leave me dangling for a little while, a silly twist upon a childish dare. Below I saw you whispering to another man who held the lever that could bring me down. He'd stop the world from turning at your command. It's always something cruel that laughter drowns. And I'm up for the dawn at breaking even. My heart is aching high. Should be
Roy Orbison, the master, singing a song about me on a Ferris wheel. He wrote that about me. Well, Elvis Costello wrote that about me. He heard my story about getting on the Ferris wheel in Atlantic City and wrote a song about it. Hey, Dudio, how are you doing, buddy? How was that thing? Yeah. Best show. Hello. Hi, best show. Hey, is my friend here? Why don't you send him in? And the other fella, the other fellas can come in at any point. Everyone's welcome here on The Best Show. Oh, well, would you look at that? It's Josh Cantor. How are you, Josh?
Hey, Tom, I'm so excited to be here.
Well, it's exciting to have you here. Welcome to The Best Show. You, why don't you have a seat in the blue chair? Another Elvis Costello song, The Blue Chair. Another song written about the studio. He wrote it. Would you put the headphones on? That way you can hear the callers. Turn your mic up. Josh Cantor, how are you?
I'm great.
Why don't you pull that mic towards you? It's all new to this guy. I thought this guy knew. I thought he knew the equipment.
I know a lot about recording, but not a lot about vocal type stuff.
Sure. Well, this is a microphone.
Okay.
You talk into it, and then they hear it, and it was like one of the best inventions ever. So, Josh, you, first of all, welcome.
Thank you.
You are best known as the organist for the Boston Red Sox.
That's probably the thing I'm best known as, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. You're known as the organist for the Boston, and you've been doing that for how long?
This is my 15th year now.
Unbelievable. That's exciting. Isn't it so exciting?
It's great. I mean, it's, you know, you're there for a certain amount of time, and then you kind of look around at your colleagues and who's still working there and who's new and who's old, and eventually you realize, like, oh, I'm one of the old-timers now, you know?
Yeah, you're like a character in the tapestry of what that is, of baseball and Red Sox lore.
Yep.
Because the first World Series they won was in 2004. Check your calendar. I think my guy was the organist at that point. Then they won in 2008.
2007.
Seven. Check your calendar. I think my guy was the organist then. Then they won again in... when? Did they? That's
13.
It. 13. 2013. 13. Check your calendar. I think my guy was the organist then. This guy did it. There's 100 years. Everyone who played organ was a jinx. Right? They were just they were the Red Sox curse. And then they bring my guy, Josh Cantor, in. He plays. Takes a little bit of time. Because you were there for like 3 years before they...
My second year was when they won it.
Oh, yeah, they won the second year. Oh, yeah, so it took them a year to shake off the rust.
Yeah, just get comfortable, you know. We lost then, game seven that year. Yeah.
And then he's like, now it's time we win.
Yeah.
Magic fingers made the winning show up. I want to build this up, and you'll be some weird, like, there'll be like a superstition built around you.
Yeah.
If we build this up correctly, then it's just like, because somebody be like, he is the reason we're winning, right? They'll like believe it.
Some people claim it. If you look at David Ortiz's numbers, the evidence would suggest that he played a greater role than I did.
Yeah, but maybe he couldn't do it unless he couldn't hear the guy, the organist, playing Big Star sneaking Big Star songs in.
Yeah, no,
maybe he wouldn't have done it.
I'm sure that motivated him at least on a couple occasions.
What's the craziest song you've slipped in?
And
they're all fun. You're making.
Some are crazier than others. I mean, there's been so many, and I often don't even remember them. The one that comes to mind as you asked the question was. Somebody asked if I would play a Sun Ra song on Sun Ra's 100th birthday,
mm-hmm.
and I did do that, and the small but very loyal set of Sun Ra fans went crazy for it.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's a nice gesture. I still think the craziest one you did was the Best Show theme during the World Series.
That was pretty crazy.
The night they won.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Someone else... sprinkled a little fairy dust on the stadium that night.
That's right.
Josh. What was I going to say to you? I'm going to take a couple calls, and we're going to keep things moving. Do you have one of the tricks of your trade with you tonight?
I got some tricks, yeah.
Okay.
It's not fully set up yet, but we can make that happen.
We'll set it up.
Hello?
Yes, hi. Best Show. Welcome to the Best Show.
Is this Tom?
This is Tom. To whom am I speaking?
This is Jimmy from Gloucester City. I heard you're talking about the Sox. I'd like to talk about my Phillies now.
You're talking about the Red Sox.
Well, yeah, the Red Sox. But the Red Sox, you know, who cares about the Red Sox? Remember in 2008 when the Phillies won the World Series?
Yeah, yeah. We all talk about it still. That magical year.
We still talk
year.
About it. It wasn't it Ryan Howard on first base, Chase Utley on second.
Don't know.
They had Jimmy Rollins at shortstop.
All right. What?
It was a great team.
Are you going to talk? Are you going to talk to me? Are you going to quote the lineup?
Well, I mean, remember there was Cole Hamels.
I don't. You're gone. You're gone. I hope you remember. Special.
Gotcha.
Yes, hi. Welcome to the show. Yeah, you're on. You're on.
Hey, Tom, can you say happy birthday to my girlfriend? We're in Block Island, Rhode Island. We're originally from Brooklyn, but she just turned 26, and I would love for you to give her a happy birthday.
What's your name, young man?
My name's Matt. I'm from Brooklyn.
And what is your girlfriend's name?
Lauren. She's from Manhattan.
Lauren?
Lauren, she's part of the DOI. It's the Department of Investigators. She's a very proud member of that. And it would be fantastic if you could give her a very wonderful happy birthday.
Is she there now?
Yep.
All right, why am I talking to you? Hand the phone to her.
Oh, I can get her on here.
Yeah, we'll do that.
All right, Lauren, why don't you get on here? He's asking for you.
Come out here. This guy's a snooze.
Yeah. Lauren, talk to him.
Hi.
Hi, Lauren. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you, Tom?
I'm okay. Happy birthday.
Oh, thank you so much. It means so much. We always listen to your show every Tuesday.
And it comes from the heart. I wasn't coerced into this in any way, shape, or form.
Oh, yeah. He's an arm twister.
What are you doing for your birthday? You have a nice cake?
We're actually in Block Island, Rhode Island. Have you been?
I haven't. Do they not have cake there?
No, they don't have cake there, just fish.
Just a crab cake. Will you get a crab cake with a candle in it?
Yes.
So this guy, what's his name, Mike?
Matt.
How long have you known Matt for?
About a year.
Is he all right?
Yeah, he's really sweet.
He sounds like a little bit of a loose cannon, though, right? A little bit of a loose cannon?
A little bit of a what?
Loose cannon.
Oh, yeah, he's a little bit of a loose cannon.
Right.
Kind of unpredictable.
A rageaholic?
He was riding a moped, and he flipped us over on it.
Oh, okay, so he flipped you over on a moped. How about when he just gets mad, and then you talk, you say, Matt. And it's like he clearly can't even hear you. And you're like, Matt, and he's clearly somewhere else, right? And he calls it the red zone that he goes into when he gets mad, right? And you're like, Matt.
That's usually just him normally, not when he's mad. He doesn't usually get mad, but when you're talking to him, he does that.
Well, I got to say this also, and somebody on Twitter just pointed this out. His birthday gift to you? Little cheap. I'm gonna browbeat the host of the best show into saying happy birthday to you. What's wrong with this guy?
Yeah, I guess it is a little cheap.
He's a tightwad.
He's thoughtful though.
He's a rageaholic tightwad.
Oh no.
Well, look, I shouldn't be putting you in this situation. You're probably going to have to end up picking up a kitchen knife.
I don't think there are any knives where we are, but
okay.
I'll try and safeguard them.
Well, look, I'm just teasing. He seems like a fantastic guy. And I'm not saying this because suddenly I realize that I'm scared of him.
All right, boy. Thank you.
Well, look, you enjoy your birthday lobster bisque or whatever you're having there. Right? A lobster bisque with a candle in it.
All right. Thank you so much.
Oh, boy. Josh?
Yes, Tom.
Sometimes it's just like, you know what this feels like when you're in the stadium and you're playing and the Red Sox are just getting their clocks cleaned.
Yeah, somebody sent me a picture last week that they had taken of me at the game. It was like a year or two ago. The Red Sox were literally losing the game 20-1, and they showed a picture of me like on the giant scoreboard playing music in between innings, and I didn't even realize, but I had the most dejected look on my face. I was like, oh, it's 20-1, and I'm the person who's supposed to make people feel better about this right now.
Now, what song do you play when it's 20-1?
I don't remember what it was. There was one... I don't remember. I mean, the handful of go-tos for like disappointing moments lately has been the "Shake It Off" by Taylor Swift.
Sure,
big
yes.
popular hit. Yeah. The kids love that one.
Now, there's no way you don't play "Bone Out." Right.
I've never played that one. The DJ plays the recording of that one on some occasions. Yeah. And there was one season when that song was especially popular and got a lot of play from the DJ.
There's more of a chance of a game being played without bats than a game being played without that song at Fenway. Right? They would be more likely to say, "Hey, we're going to try a game without bats tonight," versus, "Hey, we're going to try a game tonight without playing the song by the
or if not that song, some other Dropkick Murphys song, maybe.
Yeah Mike, you like the Dropkick Murphys, right?
Not really.
Not really. Oh, that's a shocker. Let's go back to the phones here. Best Show.
Hey Tom, this is Jake from Brooklyn. How's it going?
Jake from Brooklyn, it's going well. To what do I owe the pleasure of this call, Jake?
Well, quickly, I want to say that I got some WD-40 and fixed my door. It was all thanks to you.
You're the guy who called last week, and your door squeak was so loud.
It was horrible.
Let's hear that door now.
All right, ready?
Yeah.
Just the opening and shutting.
Listen to that. And how? Tell me this, Jake. The quality of quality of life, how much has it changed?
Like, tremendously. It's much better. I mean, I just did it tonight. I haven't slept through the night with it yet. It was like, because I knew the Best Show was on, that's what reminded me to do it.
But just think of what, and how much did the WD-40 cost? $3?
$4.
$4.
Yeah, $4. Yeah.
So $4, and the quality of your life went just through the roof.
Absolutely. I'm so happy I can't even express it.
Isn't it funny how the little things can make big differences like that?
They really can, and this one was like, I can't believe that I never would have thought on my own, you know, you can fix this problem that bothers you literally three times a night.
Yeah. There you go. You fix it.
But I'll take that with me and maybe try to apply it to other things in life, you know?
I think it's good advice, Jake, because I gave it. Get off my phone, with all due respect. A loving get off my phone. Josh Cantor.
Yes, sir.
Red Sox organist. Like you're like a gun for hire. Right?
Yeah.
In a lot of cases.
Yeah,
you're like,
kind of. I sit in with a lot of bands, and I'm really, really lucky to get to do that.
Like a soldier of fortune, but with music instead of
right. With an accordion
guns.
Instead of a weapon. Yeah,
yes.
Exactly.
Who have you played with? Of like you played with Ted Leo a couple last week, right? Was there a thing I saw with you and Ted?
Yeah, we kind of accidentally ended up at the same place at the same time and thought it'd be a good idea to play a song together.
Okay.
That was at a Waco Brothers gig, so I played a couple shows with the Waco Brothers over the weekend. They're one of my favorite live bands, so
mm-hmm.
I feel super lucky to play with them. I just did a gig earlier this evening in New York City with my good friend Lisa Bastoni, who's a fantastic songwriter. And you know, pretty much anybody who calls, if I think they're nice people and I like their songs, I'm not real picky beyond that.
You'll just play.
I love to play.
You love to play? Skyler, you do it for the love of the game?
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
The music game. Well, speaking of the music game, I went the last two nights I spent in Red Bank, New Jersey, seeing King Crimson.
Oh.
Yeah, right? I went to both shows. They played two nights.
Uh-huh. This is with the three-drum lineup?
The three-drum lineup.
Yeah.
So I'm at this thing, because I'm like, they're playing two nights. I'm like, when are they ever going to play Red Bank, New Jersey ever again? So I'm like, I'm going to both shows. So Sunday, I get a ticket. I pull into the parking lot about two blocks from the Count Basie Theater. And I'm just, I almost pull back out and go home. I'm just looking at this sea of people walking toward the theater. All, first of all dudes. It was all dudes.
Mm-hmm.
This thing was as I've never been. I can't think of a thing I've been at. I thought I was looking for a sign that said King of the Hill auditions this way, because everybody walking toward this theater looked like one of the four guys from King of the Hill from the cartoon. I thought they were doing a live action King of the Hill movie, and these were all the people auditioning, because they all looked like either the guy with the sunglasses or the but what's his face, Bill, the bald guy in the sleeveless t-shirt, or Hank Hill, or the other guy in the whatever Boomhouse. But imagine if the guys in King of the Hill had shirts that said Yes on them, and Emerson, Lake, and Palmer. But I'm like, all right, and I gotta say, at this point, I feel like I've hit a limit with guys in shorts for, like, events. It's like, if you're going on the boardwalk, of course, you wear shorts on the boardwalk. I don't care. The beach, of course, you're going to wear shorts. You're washing your car, you wear shorts. You go to a thing in a theater, you can't put pants on, that long pants, that's too much of an inconvenience for you to wear long pants. And everybody on stage is wearing a suit. That's the other thing. Everybody on stage is wearing a suit, and there's guys that are not dressed up enough to hose out a dumpster. They're underdressed to hose out a dumpster. So I'm just like, guys, just wear long pants. It's not going to kill you. You can do it. So we go away. I go in, single ticket, by the way. Big shocker there. Played some King Crimson for my wife. She's like, so what is this? What kind of stuff are they going to play? I play something for her. She's like, nope. Good luck with that. She thought I deliberately played a bad song to just get her to not go. Like, why would I play a song to not get you to go? And then she's like, no, I hated that. And I'm like, fair enough. Their music is, I love it. It is as indefensible as possible. If somebody doesn't like it, I can't defend it. You're not wrong. It's big and bombastic, and the songs are super long, and now they have three drummers up front, and it's like, if you don't want that, absolutely. I get not wanting that. I barely want it, and I went both nights. I get my seat. There's a big sign on stage that says, do not film, do not take pictures of this. Like, the band wants nothing. They don't want you filming the thing, and I'm glad with that. I'm tired of looking at go to shows and you're looking through a phone. I gotta look through the phone of the person in front of me. But this is what I would have said. I don't want to take pictures of the band. I want to take pictures of the audience. I would have asked Robert Fripp for a dispensation. I want to take a picture of the guy sitting slumped in his seat, who conducted the entire time the show. There was a guy in front of me, slumped like you'd think he was like melting in the chair, like he was soft serve ice cream left in the sun. His head barely poked over the top of his seat, but I saw his arms just as he conducted every moment of the set. Or I would have taken a picture of the two guys who were analyzing the equipment the whole show. The one guy's like, because at one point the singer, there's a guy playing woodwinds and flutes and saxophones. And look, I know the saxophone's a brass instrument, not a woodwind. I'm sorry, right? I'm just got to read.
Yeah, it's
kind of weird. You'd think it was a brass. We'll figure that out later. So there's a guy playing all that stuff, and then the singer's playing guitar. At one point, the singer pulls a flute out. The guy's like, he's got a flute. The singer's got a flute now, too. And these two guys are talking. Look at the flute. They're both playing flute. Like, they're analyzing the equipment like you'd think they were doing ordering for Guitar Center. The way these guys were analyzing. Like, it was the NAMM show. So, yeah. So, I'm watching it. It's great. And look, again, the music's indefensible. I get it. But it's like, it's good though. I'll say this. I know it's good. And I'd like to think I know what I'm talking about with music. You know what that's like, Josh. You know the good stuff, and you can say why it's the good stuff. But it's not like I listened to this Hamburger Men show the other day, this podcast Hamburger Men. I'm listening to this thing, and the one guy, and these guys fit the bill with these comedians with bad taste in music, man. I tell you, you take it to the bank. These, one guy's like, saying how he likes Dave Matthews, and then he's saying he likes, he's talking about U2 like this is some underrated band that people should give a shot to these struggling young troopers from Ireland. Give them a shot. And then the other guy hosts the thing. He says he likes a Pink Floyd thing, and then this one guy goes, "I'm the Pink Floyd guy here. I'm the what? Pink Floyd guy? Oh, you're the Pink Floyd guy. It's one of the biggest bands in the history of music." But comedians and music, man, keep me away. So I know the good stuff. This is good. I know it's good. So they're playing the show, and then at one point there's an intermission. I'm telling you this, the line to the bathroom, line to the men's room, the entire length of the theater. This was guys, the women's room, you think it was that Will Smith movie where the apocalypse happened, and he's running around in New York with like mountain lions. It's him and mountain lions and vampires. What was that movie, Mike? Ugh. No, it's not Hitch. Come on, Mike. No, it's not Wild Wild West either. No, it wasn't The Pursuit of Happiness either, Mike. Come on. Yeah, the women's room empty. The line for the men's room, I'm telling you, it was out. It was almost out the door. But that show was great. Then, I want to say this. I ran into a few listeners. It was very nice, very flattering. Just a friendly little thing here. I love you all. I love you. One, I love you all the same. The reason this show is still going is because of you guys. Just a friendly thing. Don't grab me from behind. Just as a courtesy to me, don't come up behind me and throw both hands on my shoulders and start like whispering it, start like whispering into my ear. Just please, for my sake, just spot me that one, guys. So yeah, that's night one. Night two. I'll tell you about night two. I'm going to space this out. I'm going to space this out, Josh. All right, let's go back to the phones. Best show.
Hey, Tom. How's it going?
It's going well. It's going well.
Good.
Yeah. To whom am I speaking?
Oh, this is Bertram in Sioux Falls, South Dakota.
Oh, Sioux Falls, South Dakota. I've never been.
It's nice. I gotta say though, it's very hot tonight. You'd think it would be kind of cool, but it's that dry hot prairie heat.
And that's what you guys deal with a lot. Is just that dry hot prairie heat?
Yes. Yeah. So it's we're doing our best though. It's we're having a good time, kicking back, having a few brews.
Yeah, it's summertime, right?
It is, yeah. Summertime. That's beer time. I'll be honest, it's always beer time for me.
Uh-huh. Oh, you're it sounds like you are a little bit of an imp there, Bertram.
I don't think we have to go that far.
Well, okay, I didn't mean it. I didn't mean it as an insult. It just sounds like you're being you sound like a playful guy.
Oh, I thought an imp. Correct me if I'm wrong. Isn't an imp like an elf?
Well, I didn't mean it literally. I just meant you seem like a playful guy, like a mischievous guy.
I thought maybe you saw a photo of me because I actually am 4'8".
Mm-hmm. No, I didn't mean it. I didn't. Okay. No, not. Okay. I didn't mean it like that.
Parker. Well, I'm calling for this reason. Have you been following this Amelia Earhart stuff that's been happening?
Amelia Earhart stuff?
No. Yes.
No, I have not.
Well, her disappearance in 1937, you know, was one of the great unsolved mysteries of all time. And just last week, it was back in the news because there was this photo that came out that is purported to show her and her navigator, a man named Fred Noonan, in the Marshall Islands after their plane went down.
Okay.
So it's kind of proof that they survived, and people also think it's proof that they were captured by the Japanese. So that was big news. And then a couple days later, these, I guess you would call them cadaver-sniffing dogs, kind of sniffed up this area of this really tiny island that was kind of unrelated to the Marshall Islands, and they think that they found the remnants of a castaway, a female castaway, because they found a compact, like a makeup compact, and a pocket knife. So both these things have been in the news, and they've been kind of front page news. But the one thing that hasn't been talked about is this third bombshell.
A third bombshell? Wow. What is the third bombshell?
The discovery of her tight five.
Wait, her what's that?
Her tight five.
Her tight five.
Yeah. They found a little notebook under this tree where the body was said to have, what do you call it? Do you disintegrate or do you decompose?
Decompose, yeah.
Yes. So they found this little notebook, and it contains 5 minutes of stand-up comedy that she'd written.
That Amelia Earhart had written.
Yes.
Huh. Wow. That is a bombshell.
Yes. And granted, it was mainly technical airplane humor that pretty much only pilots would get. But there were a few Lindbergh burns in there that were pretty decent.
Really?
Yes.
Wow, I cannot believe that Amelia Earhart wrote jokes.
Oh, yeah. Tom, you know how, like, 80% of all scripted TV shows and, like, 60% of all films are about the private lives of working stand-up comics?
Uh-huh, yes, I do.
Well, if you think the world is stand-up obsessed now, you'd S yourself in the 1930s.
Really?
Yes, everybody was doing comedy.
Everybody was doing comedy back then?
Yes, yeah.
Like not just entertainers?
Everybody. Kids on the street, you know, guys in offices, that sort of thing. But a lot of bigwigs who you wouldn't associate with stand-up comedy were well into it.
Really? Like who? Who was doing stand-up?
Well, like off the top of my head, Einstein, Edison, Tesla, Robert Johnson, who else? Babe Ruth, Lou Gehrig. They would do a lot of bat humor, bat size humor. Bronco Nagurski, the great football player, he would do a lot of riffs on, you know, he wasn't wearing his cup, you know, that sort of thing.
Sure, sure.
Jack Dempsey, he also did some cup humor. Benny Goodman, Edith Piaf, hilarious.
Really?
Yes, yeah. Django Reinhardt, who else? A lot of the artists were very into it. Max Ernst, Ansel Adams, Chagall, Picasso, Al Capone, FDR. He was really good.
FDR, Franklin Delano Roosevelt.
Yes.
Did stand up.
He did. Well, technically he didn't do stand up.
Okay.
As we now know, FDR was pretty much wheelchair bound for most of his presidency. So he remained seated, and as a matter of fact, the members of his cabinet would call him Old Sid and Riff.
Old Sid. I'm not even gonna. But FDR did stand. He did comedy, I guess, is what I should have said.
Yes, and his specialty was I guess the modern day equivalent would be Don Rickles. So FDR was considered the king of the put downs.
This is hard for me to wrap my head around. He didn't seem like that type of guy.
No. And this is amazing. As a matter of fact, his original Pearl Harbor speech.
Yeah.
It included this line: "The only thing we have to fear is Vice President Garner's halitosis."
Okay.
But Eleanor made him change it.
Sure. As opposed to "the only thing we have to fear is fear itself."
Yes. Yeah. So
he was
getting out there.
Mm-hmm. That's really surprising that was just the climate back then.
It's crazy. And, there was a lot of busting on each other. And, they have those scenes in Louie and the 62 other TV shows about stand-up comedy where comics sit at a table or they're at a bar or a diner and they riff and they bust on each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Well, that's what the world leaders, like the top world leaders, would do once a year. This all happened before World War II kicked in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They would sit around and bust each other. Like
exactly, They officially called it the World Leadership Summit, but in private, they called it the World Championship of Busting. Oh, did you have to censor that?
I had to bleep all of the end of that thing. I thought you were going to say like balls, like busting balls, but you said a word that actually was so much filthier than that. And it was also a word that I don't even think I heard until the early 2000s.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, see, words and phrases that didn't catch on for like 70 years or so were around back then, but they were very much reserved for, you know, the upper echelon and the super privileged the high class, the upper class.
Sure. Okay. Yeah. That's surprising.
Well, as a matter of fact, it's actually quite well known in some circles that John D. Rockefeller's last words before dying in 1937 were "turned down for what?"
Hold the "turned down for what?"
That's
what Rockefeller said.
Yeah, and other people were saying it back then, so it wasn't like he came up with it. It was already well in the vernacular.
Only for like the upper crust.
The elite, yes. Yeah.
That they had access to these catchphrases
before
anybody else.
Oh, well, they had access to all kinds of things that, honestly, we didn't even get until, you know, pretty recently.
Like what kind of things?
Well, like some other things, like, you know, they had hot tubs back then. They had pour-over coffee. They had GoPros. Pono, you know, that Neil Young kind of personal stereo. Those existed back then.
So they're not actually...
The internet.
The internet.
Yeah, yeah.
In the 30s.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I still think I'm more shocked that they had the Pono back then.
Right.
Than the internet.
Yeah.
As a way to listen to Benny Goodman records to make sure the fidelity of them was as high as possible.
Right. Yeah, and they had the same reaction back then, too, as we had, you know, as people who use Ponos now have, and it's just like, I think it was Henry Ford, when he first heard his Pono, he just said, "Dude, all that is a preamp."
Okay. He called it like he saw it.
Yeah, and he said "dude." People would say "dude" back then, too.
So they must have had that. So that was one they had access to in that context before anyone else.
Absolutely, yeah, yeah. So anyway, once a year, all these world leaders would get together, and they would just do stand-up and riff on each other for an entire weekend. It was supposed to be insanely funny. And Tom Arbolino, he was the only person that had tapes of it, but unfortunately he left the tapes behind after a gig at Toad's place, and they were never seen again.
he left the and
that's in New Haven.
Yeah, in New Haven. That's the guy who put together the has put a lot of different kind of rare, like wacky audio things together.
Yeah.
But he left it at where?
At a club called Toad's Place in New Haven. It was after an NRBQ show.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it is. Well, I wish I knew why he left it. Forgot the tape. You would think that it would be the most important thing that night, but look, neither here nor
there. Why did he have them there? He was on tour.
Like, why? Why? If you had those tapes, why wouldn't you be like, I know these NRBQ fans want to hear us do our fun brand of bar pop rock and boogie.
Yep.
But I got to play these tapes, these world-changing tapes for everybody.
Yeah.
But I need to do a version of a boogie-woogie version of what? McHale's Navy, whatever they do.
I think they wear hats too.
Yeah. So this summit, this leader summit, like who was at that summit?
Oh, pretty much anyone who was anyone. Mussolini, he was there. Chiang Kai-shek, King Faisal of Iraq, Hirohito, Edward VIII was there.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But and I'll tell you what. Here's a little known fact. It's accepted that Edward VIII abdicated his throne in 1936 to marry Wallace Simpson.
Sure.
But that's not true.
Okay, well, if that's not true, then why did he abdicate the throne?
So he could devote all of his time to honing his hour-long BBC stand-up special. It's true.
Okay.
See, he had like 45 minutes that was super tight, super funny, but nothing to finish with. Just like nothing that compared to the previous 45 minutes.
Uh-huh.
So what he did was he made the ultimate sacrifice. He sacrificed his rulership of the United Kingdom for those final blazing 15 minutes based on his new life as a civilian. And Tom?
Yeah.
It was blazing.
It was.
It's required listening. Unfortunately, Mick Box from Uriah Heep has the masters and he's sitting on them.
So he's not sharing it?
No. He won't even dub them.
Okay.
Oh, you know who else was there?
Who's that?
Hitler.
Hitler was at this leader summit.
At the summit, and he was terrible by all accounts, just awful.
He was like a terrible man.
Yeah, and a terrible comedian too. He had no rhythm. His put-downs were like very uncreative, and he just didn't have it, and he knew it too. That's the worst part. Like when you don't have it and you know it, you know everyone knows you don't have it.
Uh huh.
Yeah, and I'll tell you that's why the Hindenburg went down.
Hold on, the Hindenburg went down because Hitler was a bad stand-up.
Yes. Yeah. See, the passengers were listening to Hitler do stand-up via the wireless radio. You know.
Uh huh.
And I'll tell you, he was terrible, but he thought he could get away with having subpar material, you know, because he was good looking. But, you know, when no one can see you doing stand-up, it doesn't matter. And so the people rioted because it was so bad, and then that kind of like messed with the weight of the blimp, and that's why it went down.
Well, that's unbelievably shocking.
Yeah,
that's why.
It is.
I also, I think it's very debatable as to say that Hitler was good looking.
Well, I've seen photos where he looks great.
Okay, well, I guess you've seen pictures I haven't seen because he always looks like a worm in them.
I dropped something. Sorry.
Yeah. Okay. Well, yeah. You know, I guess, you know, I've never seen these pictures, but I'll take your word for it, Bertram.
All right. All right. Well, take my word for this also. You know, it's not really common knowledge, but the reason the stock market crashed in 1929? Yeah.
Okay.
It's because everybody on the floor was riffing and doing tight fives.
Everybody on the stock exchange floor.
Everybody.
Uh-huh.
And they lost track of what was going on, and then everything tanked.
Because they were too busy doing comedy to each other.
Yeah, yeah. And, of course, the Great Depression followed that. But I'll tell you, stand-up comedy is what helped distraught Americans get through those troubled times.
Through the Great Depression.
Exactly. And at one point, they stopped calling it the Dust Bowl, and they began calling it the Riff Bowl.
The Riff Bowl.
Yeah, yeah. You've seen that famous Dorothea Lange photo, right, from the Dust Bowl era?
The one that's the migrant woman surrounded by her children?
Yes,
She just looks, like, completely devastated and worried and, like, overwhelmed by all of her burden and circumstances.
Yes, yes, that's all true. And she was really, really worried. Only that expression that she's got on wasn't related to her economic situation, Tom.
Mm-hmm.
It was because she was watching her younger sister do a solid 8 minutes on cleaning clothes on a washboard, and she was killing it.
Okay.
Yeah. And the woman in the photo, she was up next, and she only had, like, a few half-formed ideas that were kind of scrawled on her filthy apron.
Okay.
And that's why she looked so worried.
Well, I guess, yeah, like she was going to get blown off the stage.
Yeah.
When she had the... It's funny that they didn't call the Grapes of Wrath the Grapes of Riff.
Right?
Right. Why didn't he do that? Am I catching one that he missed, Steinbeck?
He did miss that, yeah.
Or the Riffs of Wrath.
I think that's great, too. Yeah, he's a real disappointment in retrospect, right?
You know what? I would never have said that until today.
Yeah.
If this was the climate, it feels like he missed capturing the tenor of the times.
Yep. Hey, John Steinbeck, you suck.
Well, I mean, not that he sucks.
Well.
Look, that stuff's not for me.
I don't like it either.
It's like a book. It's like it's like those things that are they're black and white. You know what I mean? Like they're
right.
They're like it's words, but it's like written in black. It's like I don't know.
God, I could go for a black and white cookie right now. Do you like those?
The black and white cookies. Not so much. I feel like there's better cookies. If I'm going to eat a cookie, I feel like those are overly soft. And the white icing, I'm not nuts about.
There's nothing I like more than hearing you bust on food.
Uh-huh. Well, you asked me for an opinion
on it.
Well,
I'm into it.
Oh, see, I feel like you're giving me the business, Bertram.
No, man.
I just don't like the black and white cookies. I mean, I just feel like if you're going to eat the cookie, just put the chocolate icing all over it. It's better than the vanilla, right?
I can see that. Hey, do you hear this echo? Do you hear this?
I do hear a little bit of echo on your voice now.
Yeah, I'm in a cave.
You're in a cave?
Yeah, I've been hiking this whole time.
While calling me?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Why are you, what's making you hike?
Well, what was making me hike was that I wanted to get some exercise. Unfortunately, what led me to this cave is that I've had a giant black bear on my ass the whole time. So now I'm kind of stuck in this cave.
So you're hiding from a black bear.
Yeah, you say that like it's weird.
Well, it's unexpected. You called to talk about this historical development of Amelia Earhart.
Right.
And then talked about the history of stand-up comedy and all that stuff, which is all unexpected. And now you're saying you're calling from a cave because a bear's chasing you.
Well, that's true. And I left out the part where I'm on shrooms, which I am.
What? Okay, well, Bertram, what do you think the odds that there's an actual bear out there then? Like, put a percentage to it.
I want to say 60.
Okay. Do you feel like that might be a little high?
No. No, here he comes, actually.
Oh, so the bear's actually...
He's here, yes, and since I'm on shrooms, I can probably ride it, right?
You could probably what?
How could that help? I could probably ride it, jump on it. How could that go wrong?
That that sounds like a miscalculation,
well,
I'm going to say.
Here we go. He's standing right there, and I'm going to jump on it. And ride
that
it.
That is a bad idea. That's a bad idea. Bertram? Bertram? Hello? Bertram? Hello? He's gone. Man, it was troublesome. Right, Josh Cantor?
It was troublesome.
At J. Cantor?
J.T. Cantor.
J.T. Cantor.
I think J. Cantor maybe was taken. I can't remember.
Somebody beat you to the punch.
Yeah. It was probably Jody Cantor from the New York Times.
It might have been that rat did it to you again. You know, when you got to worry is when you hear that Jody Cantor is taking organ lessons. That's when you truly have to worry.
Yes.
Then you know that's a play for the that's a bread and butter play, and I won't stand for that. I'm not going to sit by and let that happen. Not on my watch. Nobody does that to my friend, Red Sox organist Josh Cantor. I am looking for something here. Don't be offended because we're not making eye contact. How are you doing, Mike? Did you do the thing? Did Pat?
Pat left.
Pat left?
I did the thing.
You did the thing?
It was intense.
It's intense, right?
Yeah.
I wish I could say what the thing was, but we can't. Will the guy behind the thing come in a minute? Guy behind the thing? We'll do that in a minute. I'm going to play a record, though. And then I'll come out and say hi to all your smiling faces. Do you want pizza, guys?
I think Pat already ordered one.
Pat already ordered a pizza.
Yeah, I think he did.
And then he left.
Then he left, which is also kind of weird. I brought that up.
That he would order a pizza.
And then he just...
And then split. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
It's Pat. That's just... It's pure Pat.
Pure pet. I'll tell you one thing. The ugliness comes out. You don't like him. You just don't like him. I'm going to play a record now, though, and then we'll pick it back up. Everybody loves the band. Mudhoney, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh. Well, let's listen to this from their first album. We all remember when Mudhoney said to the world, "We like Spaceman 3 also." And we were happy to hear it, because we all loved them. And they also liked Dirt by the Stooges. Not just Spaceman 3. I think Spaceman 3 liked Dirt by the Stooges. Those were good days. As Lou Reed said, those were different times. Let's listen to this. I'll be back in a minute. Not going to play Dead Love, though. Not going to play it. Wish I could. I can't. I got too much show to get to. So Josh Cantor is setting up the tools of his trade. How about that? Now we're going to bring in a special guest. Mystery guest, right? A good old-fashioned mystery guest. Just like on... those game shows you see on the... Where do you even see? I don't even know where you see these dumb game shows where it's just like there's this one thing I saw where it was John Cale was on a, like one of those, like, I've got a secret.
Yeah.
And this is before he was in Velvet Underground. And then they have to guess who he was because he played piano in this concert that was, I think, 24 hours long or something like that. So... And these people are like, "No, I have a guess. Let me ask a contestant, were you in any way involved in the arts?" Like these First of all, where were these people from that talked like that?
No, can I guess in any way? Are you involved in the arts?
Yes. And it's the guy, you hear, it's the guy from The Gift. The guy who read the creepy story from The Gift, he's talking. And then, finally, like,
I read something in the paper about a concert that was, of a, an extreme length.
Hey, people talked smarter back then. Not so much now. It's a dumb world now. Right, Mike?
Yeah.
Dumb world. Now, my friend, mystery guest, how are you?
I'm good.
You? Are you involved in the art? Well, I know who you are, though. I can't guess who you are. Why do you want to be introduced? What are you? Your name's Pendleton Ward?
It is.
Right?
Yeah.
But people call you Penn, right?
Uh-huh, yeah.
Yeah, and you're the guy. This guy's like a genius. He did this show Adventure Time. He created the whole thing. Came out of his head, right? Out of that head that I'm looking at right now. That whole thing came out of it. Look at the heads I look at all every Tuesday, Penn. The heads I'm looking at, what do you think's coming out of Mike's head? Right? How was it meeting Mike, by the way?
The first thing he asked me about was if there was virtual reality porn.
Yeah, because look, I'm not going to talk. You can talk about your thing if you want. I'm not. That's you. You tell me what you want to talk about with that. But, yeah, Mike's like, because you're talking about virtual reality. Mike's like, I heard there's a lot of what word did you use, Mike? What? No, you know, he said filth or something. He said, like, what's the deal with, like, isn't there a lot of filth on there? And then Mike's like, and you are just like, what? Like, you're like, yeah, sure, I guess. I don't know. And then, like, trust me, Mike, what the world doesn't need is you bringing that, you making that your cause. More filth. Yeah. God forbid there not be filth in every quadrant of everything. Not be turned into adult entertainment. Look, now he's going to be mad. Now I'm going to apologize. Let me apologize. apmike.bandcamp.com. Go there. He's got his masses shirts and his headshots. You still selling headshots?
Yeah.
And, yeah, it's good stuff. So, I'm sorry, Mike. I didn't mean to come down so hard on you.
Hope I didn't throw you under the bus.
No, you didn't. You didn't. Don't worry. He said porno, I think. Right? Thinking, yeah, they got porno on there? Like, I really want to see someone with just the goggles on. Yeah. Come on, guys. You got to corrupt technology. Right? Can't something be nice for once? Can't we just have a nice thing for a little bit?
Like Weird Al.
Like Weird Al, exactly. We were talking about Weird Al earlier. There's a point when I saw Weird Al and I was just like, you know what? You can do a nice thing and have a thing just be positive and fun. And it doesn't have to have the underbelly of it, right?
Yeah. Yes.
There you go. We're on the radio. It helps if you don't just nod at me. So, Penn Ward.
Yeah.
You are a genius. I guess that's fair to say, right? You would never call yourself. It's a trick question. You'd say, of course I'm not a genius. But you are. It's not even up for discussion anymore.
Thanks, man.
How long did the Adventure Time, the world, how long did that brew in your head before you finally told someone about it?
Not that long.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, for like, but it was like, see, I could spin this any way you want. You're going to sound like a genius. Either I make it sound like it was there since you were two, or it comes down like a flash of brilliance. There's no wrong way to say it.
When I was starting out, I would just schedule pitches without having an idea, and then that put the fire under me to come up with something before the pitch date.
Because what were you working on at that? What show were you working on?
Well, I was working on Flapjack.
Yes.
Early on. Yeah, Thurp Van Orman's cartoon Flapjack.
Mm-hmm. So you'd get a pitch where they'd be like, we heard this kid's got some hot ideas. And then you'd be like, boy, you better get ready for these ideas. And then you'd be in the waiting room, like, and what would you say? I have no ideas. Like, how soon would you start making stuff up? In front of them?
I'd schedule it like 2 weeks out.
Okay. And then you'd be like, oh, so you'd at least give yourself a little bit of a cushion to be like, yeah. Because I've had bad meetings where I all but made stuff up in the parking garage that I was going to tell people about, that I was, the things I'm working on. Well, another thing I'm very excited about, it's a newer idea. It's actually 8 minutes old, and I'd hope you would buy it. What? Oh, what? You don't want to buy this completely undercooked idea that you're poking holes on immediately? So you'd schedule meetings.
Yeah.
And you just pitch stuff.
Yeah.
It would force you to light a fire under you.
Yeah, I won't do anything unless there's some kind of deadline.
Okay.
I'll just stare at a wall until the very last minute and then... Yeah.
Is that how it's always been? Is that how you were in school?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I never trusted the kids who were just, like, done with a thing early.
Yeah.
It's like, why? Like, why? Why? Wait. You didn't want to watch television up until... It's like... Because it's also like when you finish something early, it's not like everybody goes, all right, go put your feet up and relax. It's like, no, they just give you another thing to do. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Then it's just like... If I finish something early, they're not just like, good, we're putting you on ice right now. It's like, no, why don't you keep working on the thing? Maybe you make it a little better. It's like, no, let me do the thing when the rubber hits the right, when it's go time. You get that, Josh?
Yeah, that's often how I work, especially at the ball games where I don't even know what song I'm going to play until about 3 seconds before I play it.
Now, can you play something? Maybe you could play just music underneath the show.
Let's test and see what we're getting here. Are we hearing that?
How's that sound out there?
Too loud? Too soft?
Dudio says it sounds good. Mike said it sounds good, but I don't trust Mike's ears so much. Do you like the Grateful Dead, Josh?
Not especially. There was a time when they caught my fancy for a little while, and but no, there's more that I dislike about them than that I like about them.
Sure, good. That's what I want to hear. Well, did you ever hear the alternate version of Moxa Moxa?
I did.
What about Skull Bleeper? Europe 72. Did you? Mike gave me some CD thing. Four CDs, Mike? Three. And I didn't throw them out. I told him I threw them out last week. They're just in my bag still. Might be a worse. It might be the neglect. They might go down in flames, slowly getting scratched in my bag as books and things get taken out and the CDs rub against the sleeve they're in. To where one day I'll take him out to play and be like, yeah, these things don't play. They're scratched up. Grateful Dead pen.
I never got into it.
Yeah, right? You get it. See? See? We're now, guys. We're not these deadheads. Yeah, I'm now. Where'd I spend the last 2 days? Seeing King Crimson in concert. I get it. I'm a part of today's youth. Watching a 72-year-old Robert Fripp he's not even sitting on a stool anymore. He sits on a low chair because he's worried about tipping off the stool, falling off the stool. So, when does the pitch for Adventure Time, when does the whole thing coalesce and you feel that this is the one? And that's what you told people.
It was just the 2 weeks thing.
So one of those 2 weeks turned into that.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
That's how it works sometimes. But then it grew and grew and grew.
Yeah, there's 30 people working on it, and everyone adds to it every time. You know, every week you come up with something new and you grow it. Yeah.
And were you shocked by how people took to it?
I thought people would like it.
Yeah. Okay, that's great. You hope people like it too.
I'm trying to be honest.
No, that is honest.
I was trying to make something people would like.
Yeah, something fun.
And then they liked it, and I was like, yeah.
Here we go, right?
Yeah.
Right? Here we go. You play some music.
Just... Yeah.
So...
Some people didn't.
Some people didn't like it.
Yeah.
No. Can you turn it down a little bit? There is it. Perfect. Oh, my God, is that perfect. So some people didn't like Adventure Time.
Mm-hmm.
And did that in any way make you change your or were you just locked in? This is what it is.
I think it's exciting when people don't like it.
Yeah.
It makes me want to make it better, mm-hmm. or say F-bombs at them.
Yeah.
And then be like, oh, I can do it. I'll make it good.
Yeah. The challenge.
Yeah.
Now, are people surprised? Do you surprise yourself with your level of rising to the challenge with that? With moments like that when suddenly you're just like, now this is it.
Yes. I surprise myself all the time. I forget that I can do anything, and then I'll start doing it. I'm like, wait, I can do this.
Yeah.
I can do it.
Right?
Yeah.
Now, were you surprised by how other people, you could collaborate on this thing and watch that part of it grow? Where, because sometimes you think things are just in your head. You know what I mean? Like, sometimes it's like, maybe I'm the only one that can ever build any of this. And suddenly other people are like, oh, no, we're all doing this.
Yeah, I was excited to collaborate, too. I always weigh my ideas against other people's, and when theirs mm-hmm. are better, I'm like, let's go with that one instead of my crummy idea.
Sure. Well, that's good that also you're not just going, look, my ideas win. That's how it goes.
Yeah, no way.
It's you're putting your ideas in the marketplace of ideas, Penn Ward. It's very exciting. Now, how many seasons in is Adventure Time now? Seven? You don't even know anymore.
Over eight,
okay.
They changed things around. I can't remember.
Because sometimes the season lengths are just like an infinity symbol they write next to. Like, this season will go on, and we'll tell you when this season's over. Like, this is season five. Part 3 of season 5, 70 episodes. How many episodes are there total?
I think it was over 200.
Oh, my God. And I've been lucky enough to do a voice on the show, so thank you for that. It's such an exciting thing to do.
Thanks, man. You're great.
You're breaking my heart with that. You're great. See, Mike, this is what it's like when I get a good guy in here, right? First of all, Mike's never seen Adventure Time. Mike's still—he's still waiting to check out the Flintstones. He's working his way up to the Flintstones. What do you think about that calendar, Mike? You like it? Mike wants to do the calendar. Let's go to the phones. See who's here. Best show. Hello. Oh, I should do that. Hi, best show.
Hi, Tom. It's Kermit from Reno.
Who?
Kermit from Reno.
Kermit, like Kermit the Frog?
It's Kermit from Reno.
Are you doing your Kermit the Frog impression? Because I'm looking for Kermits tonight to represent... To bring into
the
Henson.
I'd be happy to give that to you if, in exchange, you'd give me some thoughts about some music.
Mm. All right, let's hear your comment.
I'm starting a reissue label.
You're starting a reissue label? Okay, what are you going to reissue? What do you want to reissue?
I'm going to call it, I'm going to call it Amphibian Reptile.
Mm, yeah, okay. Very funny.
And I wanted to know what you think the best Mekons record is.
I'm not a big Mekons fan. Get off my phone. Sorry, Josh. I figured Josh is going to hit me over the head with this keyboard.
No offense taken.
Sorry.
We like different things sometimes.
The Curse of the Mekons. Is that a good one?
I think that's a good one.
Yeah, I like that one. I've heard that one before. What kind of music do you like, Penn? What are you cranking these days?
I like Tom Waits, man.
You like Tom Waits. Now look, play a little Tom Waits, please, Josh. And I'll sing a little bit for, what song is this?
Innocent When You Dream.
All the things you do.
Slow it down.
So,
make it sound woozier.
The things I was in the alley.
Sounds good.
Eating some fish bones on a garbage can lid. When the train yard dick came through with his nightstick and chased me into the young men's Christian athletic showers, and I hid. I took out a sawbuck and bought myself a cup of mud at the automat. And you're beautiful when you dream. Oh,
there we go. That's for you, little Tom Waits. Thank you, Mike. You don't like Tom Waits, right? You're off it. Not all of it. What do you like? Rain Dogs. Yeah. What else? Frank's, what was the thing? Frank's Headache, what was the one called? What was it called?
Frank's Wild Years?
Frank's Wild Years. So you like Tom Waits?
Yeah.
All right. All right. Can we get a little mood music, please? Mm-hmm. Josh Cantor. So, let me tell you all about Patreon.com. The Best Show no longer does advertising. We get our money through listener sponsorship, and we get it through Patreon. Patreon.com/The Best Show is where to go to contribute to The Best Show. There's all sorts of different things you get for different levels of contributing. If you can only give $1 a month, we love it and appreciate it. If you can do more, we'll take more, and we'll give you more for it. But the important thing is you go over to patreon.com/thebestshow. Patreon.com. Give till it hurts. That strangely worked out.
It always does.
Does it always work out?
That's what I tell myself.
That's what you tell yourself over and over. Look, I try with that also. And then sometimes I'm just like, wait, it doesn't seem to be working out today. And I'm like, or yesterday, or, and then it just, then I rally and pull myself up and like put rocket boosters on and feel good again. Up and down the waves. We ride them all, right? And, Penn, you ride the waves, Penn Ward, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know what it's like to look in the mirror and just go, what am I doing? What is going on here? Uh-huh. Right?
Yeah.
Do you ever yell at yourself in the mirror? No?
Just frown.
Just frown.
I don't yell at myself. Only in my head.
In your head?
Yeah.
What's that voice in your head say? Mine, you know what mine says? Oh, shut up. That's what the voice in my head says. Sometimes I'll be talking and then I just hear it go, oh, shut up. What's the voice in your head say, Penn?
Why'd I have to bring up Tom Waits?
So this is the most recent thing the voice in your head said. You're pulling from 90 seconds ago. So, yeah. So,
I'm glad I did. I really enjoyed your song.
Well, thank you. Mm-hmm. I tried to touch on all the things he sings about, right? I think I missed, polio and, 23 Skidoo.
I liked a cup of mud. That was the line that I remember.
Yes. Yeah. So, let's go to the phones, take a couple more calls here. Best show. Hi.
Hi, Tom.
Yes, hi. Welcome.
Hi. This is Sean in Chicago.
Sean in Chicago, what's going on tonight?
Not too much. I'm just hanging out, just doing a little bit of drawing. Kind of a quiet night. Mm-hmm. It's going good.
You're drawing, huh? What are you drawing?
Oh, I'm working on a comic. Kind of a long, big comic. I actually wanted to thank you because I got into the show recently, and I was listening. I've been listening to a lot of episodes while I've been working on the comic, and it's been very motivating. So I wanted to thank you for that.
It's funny that some people will say that they can like do things while listening to the show, the talking and stuff. Which
I don't know. It just kind of I don't know. It just kind of works. It fits the vibe.
I feel like it would be distracting to hear me just blather on.
it's not too distracting. It's nice. It kind of fits the mood.
What do you listen to when you're drumming stuff up, Penn?
Drumming stuff up. I listen to a lot of music. Usually it's just music. I don't actually listen to podcasts or
sure,
or
except
shows.
For the best show.
Except for the best show. Yeah. Yes. That's the exception.
What can't you listen to when you want to do the thing?
Oh, that's hard to say. I can listen to most stuff, but I would say, I don't know. It's hard to, listening to nothing at all is actually maybe the toughest thing. I actually need to be listening to something to work.
You don't like the silence. It scares you a little bit,
yeah,
doesn't it?
It right? is. It does. Yes. Yeah. It's a little terrifying.
Will you see a movie by yourself?
Yeah, I'd see a movie by myself.
Mm. Interesting. Yeah. The silence, but the noise of the movie isn't you being truly alone. The silence is what scares you, isn't it?
That's true. Yes. The silence it's very scary because you're just kind of alone with your thoughts.
Yeah. Nothing wrong with that, right?
No, not necessarily.
What do I listen to when I write? Thanks for asking. I'll listen to nothing. I'll listen to the silence. I put noise-canceling headphones on, and I don't hook them up to anything. But I
interesting. That's like the most silent it could possibly be.
That it does not get more silent than noise-canceling headphones that are not hooked up. That's
yeah,
as silent as
I can imagine.
All right, thanks for the call, buddy.
Yeah.
Mike's not doing a good job, I got to tell you. I'm pulling back on these apmike.bandcamp.com plugs, Mike, until you tighten it up. I'm not going to mention that you have the masses shirts or the headshots or the songs. You giving any thought to the calendar?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And you could show off that tattoo. Make them eat bleep slowly. Best show.
Hey, this is Dave.
Hi, Dave.
Hey there. I am floating somewhere on the Hudson.
You're floating on the Hudson?
Yes. I'm on a boat, and we're listening to the show.
That's nice.
And we're floating on the Hudson.
That's nice. Well, what kind of boat?
It's a 45-foot sailboat.
Fancy.
Yeah, well, it's my friend's boat. It kind of sounds fancy.
Hey, why don't you tell your friend to go to patreon.com/thebestshow? Sounds like your friend's got some money to burn.
Yeah, he has some money to burn. So
a 45-foot boat.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And it has a 50-foot picture of a Coors Light bottle on the mainsail.
Really?
Yes.
Mike? What do you think about that? Wait, did you write me? Did you write
me? Yes, I did.
Well, that's going to happen. I'm going to tell you. Can I talk about this call? What's your name again, buddy?
My name's Dave, Captain Dave.
Captain
or Admiral Dave.
Dave. Well, which one is it? You can't slide. You can't change your ranking. That's not your choice.
I'm going to be the Admiral.
The guy who wants the boat,
he can be the Captain, but I'm definitely going to be the Admiral.
This guy emailed me. He has a Coors Light boat. And he wanted to know if we would all come on it. Me and the Best Show crew would go out on his boat. And I got to say, I think it's a good idea.
Well, I'm glad you think.
To have me. Well, maybe not me. It might just be the rest of them. I mean, honestly. No, look, I'll go. I'll go too. I guess I have to do. I guess I have to do like a corporate. It's corporate. It's like you're putting a nice face on the thing. Like when Adventure Time would have like the what would you have, like a softball game? Would you play against regular show? Like what kind of like competitive events did you have with Adventure Time?
They rented at a ice skating rink once.
Okay. So you, it would be you and all the Adventure Time employees skating around?
Yeah.
No, I think you'd enjoy it, Tom. It wouldn't be corporate at all. It's just a lovely day sailing out on the Hudson.
I would love
the East River, if you like.
First of all, I'd love nothing more than to see 40 animators on ice skates. And now, but to the matter at hand, me and the crew on this Coors Light yacht.
Right. Ugh. And I know you're not a drinker, really, but we'll supply whatever you like, and then there's all the Coors Light.
There's nothing but Coors Light on this boat.
No, we have whatever the guests would like. But,
okay, there's plenty of Coors Light on this boat.
Right. Plenty, of course. That's no problem.
Now, how do you see this day going? How do you see it going? We get on board in the afternoon. What are we doing here?
Right, exactly. We're right out of Jersey City, so it's parking available.
So we all get on the boat. How long are we out on the water for?
Well, it's really however long you like. So we'll stay out usually for 6 hours, but if you guys want to stay out for 2, 3, 4, 6, we are there to accommodate.
What's the rowboat situation? If I've say one of the people has had enough of the other people.
Oh,
and I'm not saying, or say we have had enough of one of the people and want them off the boat.
We just throw them over. There's no rowboat. We give them a life vest.
All right.
Yeah. So that option is available.
I just picture being on a boat, me, Mike, Dudio, Pat.
Well, the thing is, there's the front of the boat and the pointy end, and there's the back part. Mm-hmm. I don't really know the words.
Yeah, okay, Admiral. I don't know the, you know, the pointy end and the back end of the boat. Yeah. Tell me more about this vessel, Admiral.
You could stay at the bow, and Mike could be way back there by the beer cooler.
Would you do this, Mike? Mike wants to go this weekend. I don't know about this weekend.
This weekend, we are in Newburgh. That's why I'm on the
Hudson. Sorry, Mike. This weekend's not going to work. Sometime in August, would that work?
That would be perfect.
All right. Now, yeah. Mike wants to know about the international waters. He wants to know when we're officially in international waters and what goes.
I want to know what he has in mind, first of all.
I don't think
we ever cross. We cross into New Jersey and New York, and
it's something Mike calls UFC with teeth. So some kind of fighting league he's organizing.
We could do that on the boat. Certainly, we could have.
All right, good, Mike. Little, you can bring your fighters on the boat also. Yeah. Mike reps six fighters now. That they can only fight either on a. They could either only fight in international waters or in a plane above countries. That's the only place these fights can take place. Or underwater, I guess, in a sub. Or on the SS Coors Light when Mike and his fighters are done with it. The boat's going to be underwater also. It'll
and,
be
we
final
have
voyage.
Hatch, I know you have your own.
Yeah? Go ahead. Sorry, Captain.
Well, we have Captain Hatch, and I know you have your own, but everyone can have their own Captain Hat. Take pictures.
I'm going to figure this out. This sounds like a blast, and great. I appreciate it. You ready?
And I just re-emailed you in case you misplaced
the last one,
a picture of the boat.
I can't wait. This is going to be so much
I'm
fun
excited.
To be out on the boat. Thank you, Admiral Dave.
Thank you. I'm very excited.
All right, bye. Big boat day. Me and it'll be just like that ice skating rink. When you and Adam
Muto.
I never want to say it out loud because I always get... It's four letters and I'm scared to say his last name.
Yeah, Adam Muto.
Muto.
Yeah.
He's a nice guy.
Yeah.
Very talented guy. So what's going on? What is the Adventure Time? What does the future hold for things?
Oh, I don't know. I'm working in virtual reality right now.
You are?
trying to make my own VR game.
Okay. Do you want any more you want to say about that?
No, I don't know. I mean, I can talk about. I don't know. When I first started working on it, I met a guy at a virtual reality convention named Ryan Nelson, and he was interested in combining EEG reader. It's the brainwave reader that goes on your head and just it picks up your brainwaves.
Okay.
He wanted to combine that with virtual reality. Mm-hmm. And he gave me his card, and the next day I called him, and I was like, let's start doing it. And then he mm-hmm. made a prototype where you got the VR headset on your eyes, you have the EEG reader on your head, mm-hmm. and if you're calm enough, your brain waves will tell the VR headset to let you levitate virtually.
Uh-huh.
So you like levitate up off the ground. Mm-hmm. And then when you're levitating, you're like, ah, I'm levitating, and then you plummet because you're not calm anymore.
Yeah, you know, I think that guy probably works for the CIA. I don't know how to break this to you. I think that's a CIA rep.
He's a nice guy.
But I'm sure there's plenty of nice guys in the CIA. Plenty of nice guys. Can you play a little music?
Yes.
A little fun music that's kind of like, that would accompany Penn realizing that he's been working for the CIA for the last 2 years.
Oh, yeah.
Like, but he's having a good time doing it. There we go. That's fun. Yeah. And then you walk in and you see someone with your thing strapped to their head screaming. And they're confessing anything. No. What song is that? That's, where, is that like, that sounds like Whatever I Call You Friend. Right? Wherever I call you, friend. What is that?
Who does that?
Who's that, Mike? Kenny Loggins? Mike's a big Loggins man. Yeah, I'm going to go on this boat dressed full nautical Judge Smales outfit. White pants, white spats, blue blazer, captain's hat. When I do this boat thing, I'm doing it right. Sorry, Penn.
I don't mind.
We're not just doing... For my guys, only the best. No, spare no expense of someone else's expense. Of this guy who owns the boat's expense. And for you guys, seriously, we'll figure the parking situation out. You guys carpool to the thing. I'll throw in toward street parking. Like metered parking. I'll throw in on it if you guys take one car to the dock. Okay?
Yeah.
And I mean that. Just submit an invoice for the total amount of parking for the metered parking. I need a written, the meter's going to have to give you an invoice. So, or you're going to have to get one from Jersey City. Oh, this is good. Someone wants to know if there's a country that you might end up being extradited to, Mike. Yeah? Guam. He said Guam. How about a little jaunty, fun music? Josh Cantor, organist for the Boston Red Sox. Hey, Mike! Get in here! Get in here! I love it! Von organ music!
Having a slice.
Having a slice. What's up? Nice job! Knocking the board off the wall!
Somebody's got to do it every week.
Oh, boy.
It's kind of tight in here.
Yeah. Josh Cantor!
How are you, Gary? I'm so glad to see
What's
you.
What's up?
I was hoping you would be here tonight.
Play some fun theme music for me.
Yes, sir.
Please. Gotta have manners. Well, hi, everybody. Welcome to the Gary the Squirrel Show. Insightful interviews and conversations.
tonight. Ben Ward from Adventure Time and Central Intelligence Agency and broadcaster AP Mike.
Hi, Gary.
No, I'm doing the announcement, stupid.
Oh, okay.
And here's Gary.
Okay.
And here I come. All right, all right. What's a song I could sing?
I mean, whatever you're feeling, we can go for it. About feelings.
Nah, that song sucks. I don't know. What's a fun one I could kick the show off with? What's like a lively song?
How about One Fine Day? Do you know that song?
That song sucks.
Okay.
What about Iran by Flock of Seagulls?
Yeah, we can try that. I gotta remember it. I remember the chorus, I think.
I walk along the avenue. Well, what's a song like that that you know?
Oh, like a fun, catchy song like that?
Yeah.
Do you know, Don't Bring Me Down by the Pretenders? Is that what it's called? Don't Let Me Down?
What? No.
Maybe I'm not remembering it, the right title.
What about Mike, what's a good song?
One Way or Another. Blondie.
You know that one?
I know that one, yeah.
Let's do it. So.
Ready?
Hold on, let me get the words. It's hard to type with this acorn in my hand. Should have figured this out ahead of time.
Cramping up.
My producer sucks.
Where will we lose the chairs?
What's wrong with your chair?
I don't know. I have none.
Well, you don't have a chair? Hey, Dorian! 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 Tell Pat to get Mike a chair.
Hey, Pat, will you get Mike a chair?
Well played.
Now let's do it. Hey, everybody, thanks for coming to Gary Squirrel Show. Got a great one for you. Ben Ward from Adventure Time's here. Ain't the comedy of AP Mike. He's going to do some stand-up.
I'm going to do some sit-down.
Oh, boy.
There we go. You're the one who brought me in here.
Yeah, you were begging me. You're begging me to be on the show.
Oh, yeah.
And then we got the hottest band in late night. The Josh Cantor Boogie Show. Take it away, Josh. Give me the nod when I start.
One, two, three, four.
One way or another, I'm gonna find ya. I'm gonna get ya one way or another. I'm gonna find ya. I'm gonna see ya. I'll see ya. One, wait. What next? I'm gonna meet ya. One. Pick it back up. One, two, three, four. One day or another, I'm gonna see ya. I'm gonna meet ya one day. Or another, I'm gonna find you. I'm gonna get you. I'll get you. I will drive past your house. And when the lights are all out, see who is around. One way or another, I'm gonna find you. I'm gonna get you one way Oh, Renata, I'm going to find you. I'm going to meet you. I'll meet you one way or another. I'm going to find you. I'm going to meet you. I'll meet you one day or maybe next week. I'm going to meet you. I'll meet you. I'll meet you. And if the lights are all out, I'll follow your bus downtown. See who's hanging around. No, that's good enough. That's enough. Alright, my first guest. You know him from Adventure Time on Cartoon Network. Ben Ward.
Hey, Gary.
How are you, Ben?
I'm good.
What's going on?
Not much.
You're working on virtual reality now, huh?
Mm-hmm.
What's that like?
It's psychedelic.
Let me ask you a question. And look, don't take this the wrong way if I zing you. Because I'm also about to ask you for some work. So don't let my zingers get in the way of my work request that's about to follow it almost immediately.
Okay.
Virtual reality, let me ask you a question. In virtual reality, are you any less boring than you are in real life? Get it? Get it? Zinger. So, about this work situation. What do you got for me? What about this Adventure Time reboot?
Yeah.
Finn, the human. What's the other dude's name?
Jake.
Jake the...
dog.
Squirrel! Reboot! What do you think?
Sounds good.
I could do that show. Come on. Hey! Where'd the lollipops go? Hey, where'd that talking lollipop go? What? Okay. Now I gotta pour a milkshake on my head and go to this tunnel and go talk to a VCR tape that's yelling at me. I gotta go through Jonah Ray's doing the voice of a VCR tape. What else is he doing? Have you had him on the show yet?
Mm-hmm.
Of course. And in other news, water is still wet. Jonah Ray was on a thing. What's this guy? Is he blackmailing everybody? When did this guy get the goods on everybody? So the reboot, what are we doing?
I don't know. I'm kind of busy right now.
Just give me the rights. Look, you just do it on paper. How about that?
Okay.
Well, thanks for coming on the show, Ben Ward, creator of Adventure Time. My next guest. Is your friend here?
Yes.
Does she want to play a song?
I think she probably would love to.
Well,
yeah.
Why don't you set that up?
Okay.
Play a little intro music for my next guest.
Yep.
Then we'll bring your friend on as a musical guest. My next guest! Time magazine called him the human sleeping pill. And the Bayonne police said he is a suspect. Please welcome my next guest, AP Mike!
Hey, how's it going, Gary?
Very good, very good. Mike?
Yeah.
You have apmike.bandcamp.com.
I do.
It's a hit website
mm-hmm.
that people just can't get enough of.
Yeah.
Do you find that the merchandise you're selling on the site, do you find people are more happy with the quality of the merchandise or the speed with which they get it sent to them? Or is it both?
I would say both, yes.
Very interesting. Now, do you find what item... are people most happy with the signed headshot or the Maz's shirt?
I think the headshot is getting more, people having more fun with the headshot. I mean, I just signed something. It was an anniversary present to somebody. You know, I mean, yeah, it's, they're all over the place what they're asking me to sign for.
I bought six.
You bought six headshots?
Uh-huh.
Did you know that, Mike?
I wasn't sure of that. I sold a lot.
I think that gets you on a list somewhere. Now, Mike.
Actually, now, yes. His name does ring a bell, and yeah.
Yeah. Six headshots.
Was it all at once, or was there a couple?
It was a couple, couple different orders.
Yeah. Okay. Now I remember. Yeah, for the your workplace, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
For the anniversary.
Mm-hmm.
5 years, paper. 10 is silver. What is the AP Mike headshot? What year is that? 13?
I don't know. We're, no, it's not that long, right? I've only been selling them like over a year.
No, for the anniversary.
Yeah, oh.
It's a joke!
Oh, okay, yeah, right, yeah.
Okay. Oh, my God!
Okay, you went back to what I
said. Oh, my God!
You moved on from what I said.
Can't take it.
I can't either.
So, Mike.
Yeah.
With apmike.bandcamp.com, will there be new items for sale?
Well, Tom Sharpley mentioned earlier a calendar, which I had been kicking around. It was either a calendar or a potholder. You know, you see a lot of these things. People are just reinventing stuff, like the My Pillow. You know, these pillows, everybody.
I have a potholder.
You have a potholder? Yeah.
Yeah. You know what his name is?
No.
Fred from Honolulu! Get it? Get it?
All right, yeah.
You get that one, Ben?
I got it.
Do you want it, though?
It was good.
Thank uh-huh. Me, hey, Mike, I don't know if you know. Me and Penn are doing a reboot of Adventure Time.
I just heard, yeah. Very exciting.
We're getting rid of the one dude. I'm going to do most of the voices.
Swapping out a dog for a squirrel.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know how about that's going to work. I think more people like dogs.
Yeah, well, they're going to just have to learn to love squirrels, too. That's just how it goes.
Uh-huh.
So, Mike.
Yeah.
With apmike.bandcamp.com, what's the most satisfying thing about running it?
The most satisfying?
A story like Penn's?
Uh-huh.
Ordering six headshots for employees?
Yeah, you know what's the most satisfying thing? When I have enough postage for the weekly shipments, you know, that I don't have to go and buy more postage. And, you know.
Boy, that's a heartwarming tale.
Yeah.
A real...
Haven't you ever gone to the post office? Some of those people aren't
what
very happy.
What is this, happy. A Stamps.com commercial?
They're not very happy at the post office. It's, you know, I've gotten into a few...
A few what?
A few rough-ups with some of the people there. Because I was going to do two different post offices, and they were giving me two different amounts that I was supposed to put on the items. I was getting frustrated.
Wow.
Yeah, I know.
Wow, very interesting. Now, when you're online at the post office.
Yeah.
Hey, Mike, do you still getting movies out of the trunk?
Yeah, I just got the new Terrence Malick movie, Song to Song. I think you'll like it, Gary.
They have that one in the trunk?
Yeah, believe it or not.
Oh.
Good quality, too.
Should put that movie in the trunk. Terrence Malick.
Uh-huh.
He answers the question, why? Right?
Yeah.
Tree of Life.
Uh-huh.
No refunds.
It's set, Song to Song is set in the Austin music world.
Wow.
And everybody lives in these unbelievable mansions. I didn't know everybody was doing so well down there.
You know who lives in a mansion?
Who?
Ben!
Yeah?
Huge mansion. Yeah. Do you ever see Billy Madison?
It's been a while.
Yeah, that's the mansion.
Mm-hmm.
He lives in that mansion. Oh, boy.
I don't live Great. In a mansion.
No, he doesn't. It's comedy! You know what, though?
Uh-huh.
You will live in a mansion when the reboot happens. Finn the human. Hey, you be
me film for a minute. Let's do a quick scene.
Okay.
Adventure Time reboot, take one. In exterior candy, big pile of candy.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Finn.
Hey, Gary,
No, my name's Jake.
Hey, Jake.
Oh, boy. We might have to recast Finn on this one. Go ahead. Pick it up. Come on.
Hey, Jake. Hey,
Yeah, what's that, dude?
Hey, a big, piece of candy is in trouble. We gotta go save it.
Yeah! I don't know, I want to play this new Walkman I got. They got a talking Walkman. And a Snickers. Well, I can't say Snickers. And there's this nougat. There's a river of nougat. And a talking Walkman that challenged me to a fight after school. Thoughts?
Cool, man. You want me to... Let's go, save that Walkman. Oh, wait. Do you have the Walkman right now?
No. He's on the loose.
Okay.
We gotta get this turtle to help us.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
This turtle wants us to eat a mushroom, and then we can go into the Nougat River.
All right, let's do it.
You feel the magic? You feel the magic on this? All right, that's enough. You got the job.
I want it to be the turtle.
I do the turtle.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
Oh, God.
It's Tommy. Tommy the turtle.
Get him out of here. Do you have any music for somebody who's overstayed their welcome? All right, we got a musical guest coming up. Welcome. What's your name?
My name's Lisa Bastoni.
Lisa Bastoni! Where can we hear your music?
Where can we hear my music? Right now.
Right now! That's the right answer. It's a trick question. This is Penn.
Hi.
Hi.
Have you met Penn?
We met out there, yeah.
He's a good dude. We're doing Adventure Time together. Reboot. I might have to play both the part of Finn and Jake the Squirrel. Pen was a little flat. I got some notes. You gonna play a song?
Yeah, you know, I fell asleep out there.
Oh, good. Oh, that's a great endorsement for the show. Oh, boy.
No offense, but I feel like I'm dreaming.
Oh, none taken.
I woke up to
none taken. Why would there be any offense? All right. Here we go. Welcome, Lisa Bastoni.
Hi. Last night I heard... Am I supposed to sing a song right now?
Yeah!
Okay.
I think it's all yours!
Alright, thanks. Last night I heard the humming of the moon behind the trees. Felt the warmth of California riding on the breeze, and I thought of you for the first time in what felt like centuries. I don't even have your number now, but even if I did, and though I knew it by heart back when we were kids, if I had any feelings left for you, I'd keep them hid, 'cause I moved on and on and on. And there'll be no walk down memory lane. There'll be no midnight call for old time's sake, and I'm not slipping down that rabbit hole again. And were we singing in the streets? Somewhere in Spain, were we laughing in the hotel shower, running out of change? If that was really you and me, I don't know, I couldn't say. And don't you think that's strange? And the last time at the airport, you had your dark sunglasses on. I flew home to my mother's house and I wrote you a song. And then I picked myself up, caught a bus back to Boston, and I moved on and on. There'll be no walk down memory lane. There'll be no midnight call. For old time's sake, and I am not slipping down that rabbit hole again. And if by chance you cross my mind, well, it's only by mistake. It's like that old jean jacket that you lost in the lake. We couldn't see it at the bottom. We might assume that it's still there. Either way, I'm sure by now you got yourself a new coat to wear. But oh, how I loved you with an unprotected heart, and how you blew it wide open. When you busted it apart, that was the best thing that you did. I can see that now. All I know is I moved on, although I don't remember how. And there'll be no walk down memory lane. There'll be no midnight call. For old time's sake, I am not slipping down that rabbit hole again.
Thanks. That was very nice. Lisa Bestoy!
Thank you.
.com.
Exactly.
When's your website?
That's it. You said it.
Lisa What's Bastoni? Your Twitter?
At Lisa Bastoni.
What's your Instagram?
Lisa Bastoni.
What's Snapchat?
Don't have it.
Facebook?
Lisa Bastoni Music.
Periscope?
That's all there is,
right? What else? Periscope?
I don't even know what that is.
What else? MySpace? Friendster?
Oh, Friendster.
I'm on Friendster.
I gotta revive that.
I'm very popular. It's like, I am a legend! Get it? Well, it's another exciting episode of the Gary the Squirrel Show. I want to thank my guest, Lisa Bastoni. What's the name of that song?
Rabbit Hole.
Rabbit Hole. Mm-hmm. Sounds like an episode of Adventure Time! If only that rabbit hole had marshmallow peeps in it, then it could be an episode, right?
Mm-hmm.
Wisecracking marshmallow peeps that are trying to fix stereo speakers.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
What if it's a marshmallow peep typing on a Commodore 64? That could be an Adventure Time episode. Ben Ward, thank you.
Thanks.
My musical director, Josh Cantor.
Yes, Gary.
I'm saying thank you.
Thank you.
Won't you play me out with another song I could sing?
Uh-huh.
Do you know Chattanooga Choo Choo?
It doesn't seem like quite your speed, but...
What about I Want to Know What Love Is by Foreigner?
We could try that. We could try that.
Let's do a little bit of it.
Yep.
what love is. I want you to show me. I want to feel what love is. And I dedicate this to my ex, Denise. Denise, take me back. Please. I'm sorry, Denise. I lost my cool. And I went and hung out with the boys. Instead of staying home with you. And you dumped me. I'm sorry. How do I get Denise back, Lisa? Help! I want to know what love is. Boop, boop, boop. I'm not going to Iran. Well, I'm not a note. And I don't do. And I want you to show me. And I ran so far away. I ran all night and day. I couldn't get away. Okay, that's it. I'm out of here.
There he goes. Wow. That was shocking, huh? You didn't expect to be on the show, the Gary the Squirrel Show.
I was hoping I would.
You were hoping you would. Penn, Ward.
Yeah.
You're so cool.
Hey, you're cool.
You're so talented. How do you do it? Virtual reality, Adventure Time, all of it. I am such a huge fan of yours.
Thanks, man.
And I'm touched that you're in any way a fan of this show. This is the thing. You sent me audio clips for the sound collages.
Yeah.
And I was just getting emails from some guy. It's like, man, it's like I was getting a bunch of them. And then finally it's like, wait a minute. This guy, is that him? And you were like, yeah, it's me. What do you think? I was supposed to tell you who I was? You asked people to send sound clips, and I sent sound clips. Yeah, I can't believe that. In all the busyness you've got in your life, you still pulled sound clips for the collage.
I found the Shopping for a Coffin sound clip.
That's unbelievable. How long have you been listening to this show, then?
Years and years.
Yeah, that's very flattering. Well, I'm a fan of yours, and I appreciate you coming down and hanging out. And, Lisa, it's so nice to meet you.
Good to meet you, too.
Yes, and thank you, Lisa Bastoni. And spell Bastoni so people can find you on everything.
B-A-S-T-O-N-I.
Just like it sounds.
It's but sometimes Italian.
People could throw an E in there, yeah, right? So. True. Yes, and you're playing around with Josh?
Yes.
Right? And how's that going?
So far, so good.
You guys played tonight, even.
We yep. played in New York City tonight, yeah.
Double duty. It's like a double header, but with music. Ugh. Even that one makes me want to throw up.
You had me.
Yeah. No. There are no pure doubleheaders anymore, are there, where you stay in the stadium all day?
No pre-scheduled doubleheaders anymore. Yes. It's only like a rain delay makeup situation.
Yeah.
Yeah, got one of those coming up on Sunday.
And what do they call that, a day-night doubleheader?
Yeah, or separate admission doubleheader.
Mm-hmm.
Just to remind you that you got to pay twice if you want to see two games, you know.
Yeah. So, well, I think I'm going to just, let me figure what I got to tell people here. The Patreon, we talked about that. Patreon.com/thebestshow. I'd love to get it to 3,000 patrons. Big best show announcement next week. Big announcement next week. It's going to be very exciting news. I cannot wait to tell you all about it next week. Big show. Big best show announcement. And what else? There was one other thing. Oh, of course, Pat. Why don't you remind me, Pat? What? You knew I'd remember. Well, that you know. I can't remember nothing. My head's a sieve, Pat. Karaoke All Night, Pat Burns, Prove It All Night show is every Saturday night on over at WFMU's Performance Space. The live show will be Saturday, July 22nd. And it's Karaoke All Night, the Prove It All Night third anniversary special. You're going to have... who's at this thing? Patty Harrison, Jason Gore, Kristen Bartlett, Robert Dean, Christy Chiello, and the Best Show Zone, Mary Houlihan will be there. And people can find out more about that by going to, was it Prove It Show? At Prove It Show. And that is July 22nd. So you can all check that out. It's going to be a good time. And it's family friendly, right? Family friendly. Well, my friends, we're at that point in the night where... Wait, can you play that? You know this part, the Rocky part?
Maybe.
You know when I... You know this, like... Well, no, this part. Remember, you ever hear this one? It's like... Let's start it over and we'll do that. Okay. Just tinkle.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll go. So, yeah. So, we're doing the show. All right, I can't do it. I can't. It's way too lively. And I'm in front of way too many people. I'm shy.
Do you want me to do like a tinkly piano kind of thing?
No, that's all right. I'm okay. Why not everybody? I'm going to say... Farewell to everybody. You can all step out. And then I'm going to end the show the way I like to end it. Solo! Just like the movie and the cup. Just like the Star Wars hero and the cup. Solo. Right? Han, that is. Oh, my friends. It's a fun show tonight, huh? A lot of good people. People coming from different ways and different... I can't do this tonight. I don't feel it, Mike. Mike, I just don't feel it. I don't feel it, you know, because... It was a fun show. What am I supposed to turn it into something dramatic? It was just a fun show. Sometimes they're just fun shows to do, and I have a good time doing it, and that's that. I don't have to turn it into some sort of rallying cry or statement where I've got to get worked up into a frenzy. No. Sometimes the show is just the show. And you know what? That's fine if the show's just the show. You know, I come here... I talk about apmike.bandcamp.com. I talk about that Bridge and Tunnel are this Saturday at the Pit, 7:30. That's Jason Gore and Kristen Bartlett's the sketch group. I don't know if Kristen's doing it. I know Dudio will be there. You couldn't keep him away. He loves it so much. But I do know one thing. I know that when Tuesday comes around, I know this. I know that the best show is going to be here. And you know why? Because I'm the one doing the show. I'm on the hook for this thing. And you help keep it afloat. You're the best show listener. That's why we do this every week. Because you guys step up and you do the right thing. And you support the show over at patreon.com/thebestshow. And I appreciate it. But you know what that does? It just tells me one thing. It tells me you are saying to me and us, do what you want with the show. Just make sure... It's as good as it can be and as great as it can be. You know what I was thinking to myself? I read this David Letterman book, and he started to get more and more conservative and tight with the show, and it got stiffer and flatter, and nobody cared. Look, Nobody under 90 watched that thing for the final 10 years. We can all admit it now. He's gone. But you know what? I'm not doing that. I said to myself, what if, as I got older, what if this thing got weirder? And we cracked it open and made it weirder and crazier. Instead of getting tighter, we got looser. What if that was what we did? And you know what I said to myself? Yes, that is it. Everybody else gets worse and lazier and sloppier as they get older. What if this thing gets more nuts than it's ever been? And you know what? I think that's a challenge that I'm willing to take on and to try. What if we pushed and turned this into something truly nuts? And I say yes. I say let's make this the dumbest, weirdest show you've ever heard. Back next week. And it's going to be a really nuts one next week. Get ready.